audio chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.zygologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow zygologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post today's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media figuring like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.zygologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Okay,
all right, here we are.
Introduce.
Here we are on the live stream.
Okay, yeah, so what is it today? Here we are on Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020. I'm here, I'm Rollo. I'm here with Eckley Kirk. How are you, bud?
It's 2622.
2622? Yeah. Okay, do I sound okay?
You sound alright. Yep.
Yeah, okay. You sound perfectly fine. Okay, so where are we going to start? How did you think that nice show went?
I thought it was fantastic. I couldn't remember anything the next day, and I thought, what did I say? What did I do? And I listened back, and I thought I sounded pretty complimentous, even though I was very tired, obviously. But no, it was good. It was fantastic. So now we're in, as I thought we're in America's implosion at the moment with... the George Floyd story. George Floyd, who's a former...
America is in, is in Struggle Street at the moment. And
I had a guess.
The timing
is just too perfect. I mean, really. I mean, we saw Russian vids, which we discussed last show, when he spotted that the guy both had their hands in their pockets, which is very unusual. It's a bit of a getaway. Mm-hmm. And they filmed a rubbish bin with a red six on it. They also, the ambulance guys look like cops. They both were mic'd up because their voices were absolutely perfectly clear. You could hear everything, and that does not happen when you're using a smartphone without a boom mic on it. And I don't think the guys...
I've got a lot of time for him, Russian did. I spoke to him once with John Levine. He's good mates with, PK, because they used to do live streams all the time, and I listened to that latest live stream, well, not all of it, because it went for 5 hours, but I think Fakeo's got fakegoshoe.com now, and he put it up there, and Russian Bid, one of his, Patreons or patrons is old mate, Ab did an interview with him a couple of weeks back, Brian Stavely, and he was saying really nice things about Brian Stavely on that live stream. And
Brian Stavely is doing a lot of citizen journalism stuff. He's on the ground and running around interviewing people.
Yeah.
So he's doing some good stuff. He's got a chick that he's doing it with. I know this is a female co-host on some of his. I subscribed to his YouTube the other day and.
I've got a lot of respect for Brian Stavely because he,
fake video.
Yeah, that's the one. His main thing that he sort of concentrated on was, basically what Simon Schaff, concentrated on, which is 9/11.
He's probably one of the best, and I think it's him and Ab are probably the last two standing that are still kind of pulling out bits and pieces about that. It's a bit in the past, though. Like, I mean, as I said, I think last year I was saying, you know, you've got to move on. I mean, we know it's fake. It's been pulled to pieces. There's nothing left. Short of...
When Golden Skidmark said, Ab, don't purge all your, your flat earth stuff, because we had Frank on the Saturday night show. Maybe that will be important, maybe not. I don't know. I think at the moment you just... What did George Soros... You put a meme in there with George Soros. What was that about? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Oh, maybe it wasn't you, but I was... Well, I've got all these newspapers in front of me there. Land of hope and glory. So I've got the Daily Telegraph in front of me. We'll go backwards, eh?
Yeah, well, just
so here we go.
I'll tell you, just before you start, though, the most impressive thing that was on the news today. On Friday, I heard Queensland had shut its borders down because a 30-year-old male had died of COVID-19. And I thought, geez, you know, 30 years old. What
is in charge of Queensland again? Is that Barry's, Agnes, Agley, and Barry
Jiggly?
Oh, Palaszczuk. Now, who's in charge of New South Wales? The latter's Barry Jiggly. And we've got Anastasia
Palaszczuk. Gladys Berejiklian.
All right.
So you got to
be
good
with your...
Yeah.
So what is Anastasia Palaszczuk saying today? Come on.
Well, she's had to come out and apologise because the guy didn't die of COVID-19. He died of completely other related. He probably had a condition in his heart. And he died of that, and the family were really upset, and they said, no, he didn't. He didn't die of COVID-19. And they've got a coroner came in and said, no, he didn't. He didn't have anything. He did not have COVID-19, and he died of other causes. And she's had to apologise, and she looks like an idiot, because she is an idiot. They're all blaming COVID-19 for every single death. I mean, if you got stung by, if you had malaria and died of malaria, but... You know, there was a sign of COVID-19 or coronavirus was in your cell, which it will be if you've had a flu shot. Let me tell you now. And they were caught out big time.
Here we go. Hold on.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Chris from HoaxBustersCall.com.
Hello.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
That's true.
All right, let's check our glasses. Here we go. Ready?
Yep.
Check our glasses to Chris Kendall.
I missed his humour, you know, on his calls, you know.
Very dry wit.
Yeah, and you laughed away with, you know, his imitations when he pretended to be someone or whatever he did.
Have you got a new one tonight? Have you got a new imitation for us tonight? Can you...
Maybe it might come in later, but I'm still...
Maybe it'll come to it. Okay, so let's get back to Anastasia Palaszczuk. Let's go up to the North Queensland. Who was she saying that was the died of COVID and then the family? Do we know?
Did we get a name? No, it's a mainstream story. I mean, I don't buy newspapers, and you don't. You steal them. But, I mean, I do. I stay off mainstream.
I borrow... Hey, Rick.
Yes,
Rick. I borrow them on a permanent basis.
You're recycling it. You just didn't pay for it, that's all. And that's good.
I'll tell you what. Back in the day, when this COVID-19 thing started, and there was a big run on toilet paper... I thought I was going to have to use these to wipe my bottom.
I still could. Don't. It's very bad for your bottom, apparently. And a guy told me years ago, he said his brother died of he had rectal cancer, and they put it down. He said he never used toilet paper and always used to use old newspapers. And you know they were impregnated with kerosene and God knows what else. And his brother can reckon, that's why I reckon he died him, because he refused to use toilet paper or pay for it. This is back in the 80s, the story happened, yeah. So don't use it for toilet paper. If you're going to use anything for toilet paper, use your dog. And then give her a wash afterwards.
That reminds me of, good lord. I don't know, I'll remember the gag. It's something to do with...
Anastasia Palaszczuk.
Let me read this. Ugly unrest in America continues unabated. Land of the free. Now, the chaos and carnage gripping America seemingly has no end in sight as violent protesters continue their rampage across the USA yesterday, burning buildings, attacking police, and looting stores, and in the pretense of the fight for equality. Now, This has all got to be started with this lockdown thing.
I'll say this. The coincidence that I can't, hashtag I can't breathe. The whole country's been forced to wear masks. Well, most of them, a lot of American states, you've got to wear a mask. And you had the black guys kneeling, refusing to do the national anthem and kneeling on the ground doing the black power. First, you've got, it's just too convenient. And so George Floyd was a porn star, allegedly, and there's plenty of and he starred in a series of movies, and he was also a doorman and a bouncer in a nightclub with the guy that killed him for many years, up to 17. The guy that killed him had worked there for 17 years, and he was the main guy that was the head of security, and George Floyd was a bouncer at this nightclub. So they knew each other. So, there's another red flag.
So you're calling shenanigans. Shenanigans on
that? 100%, yeah. And who has the phrase order out of chaos? Order out of chaos. I think that's the 33rd degree Masons or the Skull and Bones, one of those lot. And what they're getting, it's just the timing is just, it's just too fucking perfect to have, I can't breathe. Everyone's been, all the people with a pent up aggression from being locked in the house, not being able to go out. They're all coming out. And then you've got the agitprop, which is the professional protesters, bust in by Antifa and the Open Society, which is George Soros' group. He funds Antifa and Open Society, funds neo-Nazis in Russia. The guy is linked in with big time. There were pallets of bricks deliberately dropped off all over the place, just so that people could have things to throw. I mean, the odds, people just don't leave pallets of bricks. They cost a fortune. You don't leave pallets of bricks. And guess what the brand name was on a number of these pallets? Me. Wile E. Coyote.
Guess what was on the brand name of these pallets? Can't help you.
Acme, the same brand, Wile E. Coyote.
Yes.
All the stuff from Acme, and that was spray painted on a number of the pallets, which I've seen photos of, and it looked pretty real to me, and it wouldn't surprise me, because it's a slap in the face. So what they're doing is they're making this look so fake, so that the fake people and conspiracy theorists out there going, well, this is a setup, and they're getting angry at how stupid people must be to be fooled by this event, which is a organised, going back, these things have been happening for many years, and very interestingly, SMJ, Sean, posted a thing that he rang his father up, because he spent his first 5 years in the Minneapolis, apparently, and he phoned his father up to say, what do you think of the old neighbourhood burning down? His father said, well, 50 years ago, there was exactly the same riot. Same thing. Sure.
A big shout out to Sean, SMJ, from, he was good mate with, with Chris Kendall,
we'll move on from that, but anyway,
let's do it. We'll go to page three.
Let me finish the story. His father said to him, these rights were going on 50 years ago. And what happened is afterwards, the developers come in, and because the property prices will just plunge, and so much damage in the area, the developers come in, and all through insurance, there's all of a sudden, they get cheap deals, the place gets gentrified. So there's a lot of winners in chaos. You know what I mean? You organise rights, there's a lot of people that win out of it. Anyway, so all right, now you're...
Yeah. Go. Okay, mate. Okay. Yeah, no worries at all. No worries. Oh, by the way, I had a big shout out to, Ashka. I spoke to her today, and, just to let everyone know on psychologist.com who listened to us. She hasn't died of COVID. She's perfectly fine. Okay, here we are. So we're on page three of the Daily Telegraph, Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020. The Gladys, deal or no deal on jobs. ARC wage freeze. Correct. So here we go. Okay, so this is an exclusive by James O'Doherty and Anna Caldwell. More than 333,000 public servants could be eligible
How many?
333,000 servants. I wonder why they picked that number. For a eligible for a one-off, 1,000 one-off payment, if state parliament gives a green light to the general wage freeze in the public sector, despite the $1,000 offer and the premier's warning of potential job losses and the wage, if the wage freeze is blocked, Labor, the crossbench last night, looked to set to torpedo the $3 billion savings measure. Now, listen, Rick. This morning, I was listening to John Laws wasn't on air this morning. They had the young kid who sounds like very much like Alan Jones. Someone rang up.
Who? What's his name?
I can't remember. I can't remember his name. I can't remember his name because he's there doing 1-300-5245 to tell us what's on your mind. And a guy rang up and said, that people are dying in Italy. Weren't dying from a virus. He said viruses don't exist. And I went, great, because I was going down to get some seeds this morning, and I was listening, and I went, oh, it's a shame Lorsey's not on. I'd love to remember his name.
So you could have actually got through then, if you bothered.
I should have. I didn't know. I just went down and got some booze and got some ciggies, and he cut him off so quickly when I thought this guy had something interesting to say. He shut him down and then just moved on. And then all they were talking about for the whole morning, because I listened to them the whole morning. I wish I could remember his name.
But he was
sitting in Lorsey's chair, or probably not, sitting in his actual chair. What did you say? If anyone sits in his actual chair, he gets pissed off.
I'm glad to hear that someone managed to get that. Just that little bit of a word in there, it makes people think.
Sure.
Let me
just go through a few names of people that I really am admiring at the moment when it comes to
COVID-19.
People online. Jeremy Hambley from The Quartering.
Ever heard of him?
I have a lot of respect for him. So if you go to YouTube, and he's on YouTube, he's called Risen Jeremy from. Hambley. The Quartering is called. And he's good mates. He's good mates with Count Dankula. He's good mates with Baring. Now, Baring's an Australian from the Gold Coast.
Phil, I don't do this YouTube thing, so I'm very, I don't know a lot of these people.
No, I do. I do a lot. Yeah.
I like podcasts. I like audio. I don't like watching because it's not good for your brain anyway, staring at a screen. But it's,
Anyway, look. Jeremy Hambley, the thing I like about him is, he likes Star Wars, he likes, comic books, and he calls himself a clown, and he got punched out, and he's a lovely guy.
Where is he from?
He's from America. He's an American.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many subscribers does he have?
A lot. And he gets lots of views, and he's a fantastic fellow. And I have the highest respect for him and Count Dankula. Count Dankula, do you remember who he was?
Yeah, I do.
He was the guy that had the pug dog that he taught to do the Zig Heil thing.
Oh, yeah.
He's a fantastic fellow. You remember he got Alex Jones got him in a headlock and whatnot. He does the Mad Lads thing. Yeah, he's fantastic. And so is Baring. Baring is an Australian. And these three are best friends. And I love it. They do a live stream called The Incredible Salt Mine. And I suggest anyone go and listen to that.
Frank,
he's a bit... He's not as salty as, these guys are pretty, I heard the best interview the other day, actually. There's a guy in Newcastle. Remember when we were speaking last week about Peter Hall when I met him?
Fantastic.
Yeah, Peter Hall. Yeah.
A professional stirrer.
Yeah, the serial pest, they called him.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, I just lost my train of thought. Isaac Butterfield, who lives here in Newcastle. Now, I don't care what you think of his comedy. I think his comedy's okay. He's no Rodney Rood, but he's great. He did a 1 hour, if you go to Isaac Butterfield on YouTube, he did a 1 hour interview with Baring, and it's fantastic. You know, it's there's not a lot of comedy in it, but it's fantastic. It's young people. What they're talking about is, they're talking about this COVID. What else is there to talk about?
COVID.
Yeah. And they're talking about how, especially Isaac, how his whole life's been turned upside down because he used to travel the world doing his comedy shows. And
well, that's he didn't really...
Yes, it has. And again, I'll just go back to, how is it possible that we can play, an Isaac, if you're listening, Isaac Butterfield, I'd like to do an interview with you. How is it possible that we are capable to have rugby league, the anti-stadiums, because they've opened the pubs up now and the police are going to start coming in and make sure you're social distancing. Hold on, you cannot remember what we said last Saturday night. It's impossible to play rugby league and social distance. There's no vaccine. There's nothing to,
you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. Obviously, there's going to be the second wave. Everybody, including Bill Gates, and they're going to blame the people that didn't social distance, and they'll shut down sports again, and they'll shut down everything.
But how are we? No. Again, from a logic standpoint, we'll get back to Bill in a second. How is it possible to have I've got the paper here where they're going, oh my God, all the revenue that's coming in, this, that, and the other. Just think about it logically. To play rugby league professionally, and there's a lot of islanders, there's a lot of different people from different, how do you do it in social distance?
Can't roll it. It's impossible.
I know, and that's what drives us, it's driving me a little bit crazy.
Yeah, well, they want the results of everyone getting angry and frustrated. It's causing perfect conditions for mass change, and it's, you know, people are just, everyone's angry, everyone's frustrated. It's right.
Yeah, but
Sydney tonight has the communist. Now, the Communist Party has kindly organised a big march in Sydney right now as we speak. So I'm expecting some agitators to start throwing rocks, and they're going to use the Aboriginal death in custody thing, which is already on the news all the time. So expect dramas in Sydney, but they want a worldwide bloodshed of anger. They want this, you know, they're going to get their result, the order out of chaos, and they're getting chaos big time. And rugby league is rugby league next to boxing, or wrestling has to be the most hands-on body contact sport on the planet. There's no headgear, there's no nothing. It's just clashing of heads and saliva and spit and blood and sweat.
Absolutely.
And yet the churches are not allowed to open up again. You know what I mean? Like, it's just total hypocrisy. Total hypocrisy. Causing mass anger. And they're getting what they want. They want us to be angry. I mean, they're giving us the obvious thing, like the George Floyd story is so full of holes, and there's so much evidence to say that the
Swiss cheese.
It's like a Swiss cheese.
More holes
than
Swiss cheese.
It's causing anger and upset and, you know, frustration from every side, and this is what they want. They want this. The best thing you do is switch off, like I do, and listen to classical music and podcast.
Okay, so I'm sorry to cut you off there, Rich. The latest thing that I heard was Dave Cullen again from Computing Forever. They they want these immuno passports to be rolled out.
Yes.
And now, again, who wants these immuno passports? And haven't we all got passports anyway? I mean, I don't know how many people travel in Australia, but me and you do, but we've already got passports. Do you remember back in 1987, they were trying to bring in the Australia card?
Yes, and that was...
Do you remember that?
Yeah, and
yeah, but, yes, that was.
They almost, people almost had them dragged out of the Canberra and straight up. It was knocked down with so much violence. It wasn't, not violence, but people did protest about that.
Yeah, they did. Back then, we had nuts between our legs. Now, how they've managed to close clubs and managed to, we're going to have to practice social distancing now. I think we've turned into a nation of pussies.
Not just us, Ireland. One of the most, probably out of the whole planet, the Irish and the Scottish are the most, they jump up and down the most. And the Irish have totally capitulated and they've had their pubs shut. And I mean, to me, if someone said, oh, you'll shut the pubs in Ireland, I would have said it's impossible. They will not put up with it. And they did. They put up with it because there's a new breed of dumbed-down pussy. Oh, here we go.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Thank you. You worked on that.
Yes. Morpheus.
Come on.
Who was
played? Who played Morpheus though? Lawrence,
Him and the bald guy with the moustache, the New York guy.
He was great. The guy that took the blue pill.
Joe
Politania.
Him and Lawrence used to eat McDonald's and go and get McDonald's and eat McDonald's rather than eat the amazing food that was provided. So they were living like a real...
Did they?
I think they shared a caravan. They were quite close friends, I think. But what a voice.
Did you ever meet the Wachowski brothers that turned into...
Absolutely.
What were they like in real life?
They look like a cross between heavy metal fans and the comic shop guy from The Simpsons. They're all like long.
The comic shop guy. Yeah.
They look like skaters. They both had long hair beards and roamed around. I didn't realise how big that film was going to be, clearly, but they were just normal kind of guys. Now apparently they're women. Well, one of them is. Well, I think both of them might be.
They were both men and they turned into women, yeah. Do you remember on Neo's passport? It was 1997 when you, what was your date of birth? It was 9/11, wasn't it?
It was 2001, another one. These things were just so much slaps in the face, when you look back on it. But people have cognitive dissonance now, and even if you tried to tell a normie that, they'd go, that's odd. They wouldn't even think twice. They'll think, that's strange. It's just, to them, it would have been. And the same birth date was on that other fantastic movie, The Gene Hackman, The State, Enemy of the State.
Enemy of the State, yeah.
Yeah, I think his...
I remember that film. That was with Will Smith. Now, the black guy, Will Smith.
Fantastic movie. And I do think what's his name, Jack Black was in it as a computer operator for the NSA.
That's right.
The comedian. Is he a comedian? But, That also had a identification as 2000, September the 11th, 2001, for some scene in the movie. Another movie well worth seeing, and I admit, I tell people, watch that movie again, because you're kind of not, you're just going to go, oh, it's kind of very...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Great movie. I love that movie. Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, Streamerbot's still in here, so it's still been recording.
All right.
It's all been recording.
Chaos and Hate, let's go to page four. Chaos and Hate rules. No end in sight for riots as Trump blames terrorists left. Now, Antifa. Whether you're a Trump, Antifa, yeah, just pick up.
Antifa. Or as they seem to call it, Antifa.
Which is an acronym. What is Antifa as an acronym for what?
Anti-fascist.
Oh, okay.
But it's not pronounced, they call it Antifa. Antifa. So it's obviously, if you do some research, you'll find Antifa will be a word or a meaning. There will be another meaning to it, because these guys are, it's like saying anti-Nazi. They behave like Nazis. They're going around, these are the guys that put concrete milkshakes and smash people over the head with them. They're very violent.
And paid by
the open society. Well, who's that guy that I used to listen to that I refuse to anymore, lifting the Rosen Stoltman? He went and reported on the streets at an Antifa rally, and they beat him up and robbed him of his mobile phone. So he tried to film them, and he got beaten up, and they took his mobile phone. Even though now I wouldn't listen to him if you paid me. He's like Alan Jones to me. That guy is he's a total fucking traitor. And so what we're seeing now, because we are in the fucking zone now. What the conspiracy theorists warned about, it's happening, and we're in the middle of it. It's not going to go away. We're in it now. It's only going to get worse. But guys like Nathan Stoltman actively promoted the whole the narrative that COVID-19 was a real illness, and he pushed it like I've never heard before. Now that is a traitor. A guy was paid for, obviously. Someone's bashing him to do that. He had so much good stuff, but all of a sudden he does the bait and switch and swaps over and becomes
sick. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Well, no, I'll never do that. Okay, so this story is by Sarah Blake in New York. Okay, so cities across America burned for the sixth straight night in chaotic
protests. How many nights?
The sixth straight night as the U.S. descended into its worst civil unrest in decades. Buildings surrounding the White House were torched as hundreds of rioters engaged in running battles with police and army troops in the neighboring Lafayette. That's old mate from Ronald Lafayette. Fuck.
Who was it that said, when someone suggested that, you know, foreign troops might come in and help situations, and they said they'll never let that happen, but someone said, if the right situation happens, people will welcome foreign troops on their soil. Mr. Kissinger.
Okay.
Henry Kissinger.
Oh, Henry. Oh, yeah. Henry.
And I've already put a joke meme today saying, Iraq is sending in troops to help bring democracy to America. That's a fake meme that's on the internet. But that's kind of what's going to happen. If this keeps going, the flames of war, the start, everything's aligning to make this a serious event. And yes, of course, foreign troops could go in there if there's, you know, issues. And if they say, well, we can't trust the cops because the cops are obviously killing blacks. Now, this is another thing. How many, this is the figures, official figures, twice as many unarmed white people are killed by cops every year than African Americans. Twice as many. Okay? That's official figures. So, and crime, the if you look at the, on YouTube, if you want to watch kids getting beaten up and bullied, the perpetrators tend to be African Americans bullying white kids. And I went through that in growing up in New Zealand, that with the Maoris, I mean, they tend to be more often than not the perpetrator of bullying. And it happened to me. It was one of those.
Don't worry about the bullying, mate. I copped it too.
Yeah, we
copped it too, massive when I was a kid, when I was at school.
Yeah, but,
you know, I luckily befriended a big fella. Unfortunately, he passed away at 44. My God, it was so upsetting to me that you know, one of my best friends who faced me as a kid. But this whole nonsense going on now, I knew it was going to happen, that this was all going to be sparked off from this COVID-19, COVID-20,
COVID-21. Yeah, it's just too perfect, the whole perfect wave. I can't breathe. Knee on the neck. It's putting all the symbolism. It's so obvious that this is part of the takedown of America, which they need to do, because America needs to make its way for China. And then there's going to be another Cold War, which was on the news today. They said there's going to be a Cold War in the Cold War with China. And you know that a Cold War is a fake war, a real war is a fake war because it's organized. Someone's pre-organizing destruction in certain areas. I agree with Dave Jones, controlled demolition and moving people off certain areas. I agree with him totally. Hmm? And
it's a good man, AJ.
He is. I just think he's. He should be a sermon. A minister. He's got the voice. He should be up on stage in front of a church screaming, because the guy's got that voice that carries weight behind it, and he's got a powerful. I said the other day, I thought it's a good sermon, because that's what he's doing. He preaches from the pulpit of psychologist.com, wherever he pops up. But anyway, what we're seeing, though, we're seeing a controlled breakdown of American society. We've got people that are going to obviously win here. Developers are going to come into those burnt down buildings, buy them up cheap, and put new things on them, just like they did in World War II when they blew up East London. Was the one that got bombed the most. Nothing there but old poor people's houses and businesses, and they were the ones that were bombed the heaviest that got blown up during the Second World War. This is just part of the whole narrative of the New World Order, which we are in. There's no three months ago we were nearly in it. Now we're in it. 100. We're up to our neck in it. You know, the new. What do you call it? The new normal. That's the word they keep saying. New normal. Everywhere you hear that word, if you hear the word new normal, punch yourself in the head every time you hear it, you'll get a black eye and be in the hospital very quickly. So we're being shepherded in, and this thing in America is going to get worse, and it's going to start happening here, I would say. That's my prediction. Cool. Am I here? Are you there, Phil? Lola. Well, I can keep talking. He might have gone off to get a drink from the pub. I mean, from the fridge. He calls the fridge the pub. The whole dramas going on there are so obviously manipulated by someone else. And they're being choreographed. If you've got the eyes to see now, you can see this is a choreographed takedown. Hopefully it won't get as bad as it could, but it's looking that way. So, I just see everything that I thought was going to happen happening. Today we got announced on the radio that we've almost got a cashless society in Australia. That 65%, hello Rollo, you back? 65%, there's a 65% increase for over 50s using cash, not using cash, so Australia is almost in the society that they want, cashless society.
Sorry, dude.
That's right, man.
I missed everything you just said. I just,
kept talking. So anyway, read
page, you're running.
Page five.
We'll get our paper a day back. So we'll go to the Daily Telegraph. Okay, on Saturday, May 30th, 2020, when we did our podcast with all the boys. And big shout out to Golden Skidmark, big shout out to Ab, and who else was on that podcast? Frank?
Fast
Are You and his wife. Yeah, big shout out to him.
I don't think it was his wife.
And,
Oh, I don't think so, but he was in good form.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The thing I heard today on, I'm just looking through the paper, but I'll tell you what I heard on Lawsy, the guy that was running Lawsy's show this morning, was the government's given themselves a massive pay increase. Pay rise in New South Wales. Arguing over that. Yeah, for what? What do they do? What do they do? Close the borders or
shut down small businesses.
Exactly. Have you been involved in any pub life over the weekend?
No, I don't.
The
pub near me is shut. Everything's shut, but apparently it's opening up soon, but I haven't been, no.
That will be the thing that will be interesting me, especially with starting this fake age tube. I'm going to, I might start taking my phone down and, just check out, test the water, see what's going on.
Ask permission for
that. I will. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I think,
I know. You know what happens, Rick, isn't it? The second you stick your camera on someone, they get a little bit shirty. Remember that shirty, the slightly aggressive bear. Remember that? Back in 1992, what was that called? It was called The Late Show.
Late Show.
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
Yeah, Russell Crowe played shirty. Yeah. Do you remember the movie that made him famous? It was called Romper Stomper, wasn't it? Romper.
Nah, he was famous before that, but that was a big movie, that's for sure. Good movie too, great movie.
What a guy. Good. Yeah, I think maybe the one before was with him and where he played a gay guy with
Jack Thompson.
The Sum of Us, yes.
They filmed that they filmed it in Balmain. A lot of the scenes, exterior scenes were shot around there.
Really?
Not a bad movie.
It was a fantastic film. Yeah, it was a fantastic film.
Yeah, and that's
talking about a great actor.
Yeah, both of them are great actors, but not great people. I'm all sorry. He's not such a great person. I think he's a bit of a wanker, from what I can
tell. Who, Russell?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Jack Thompson's a nice guy. Jack Thompson, I've seen him. He's a big guy.
He had two wives, remember? He had two wives.
Twin sisters. Are they twins? Yeah, he was married to two twins. Yeah, what a life that guy. Who wouldn't want to aspire to being Jack Thompson?
Do you remember when Norman Gunston or Gary McDonald interviewing? And, I can't remember the film. It was in the late 70s where it was a sheep shearing movie, you know.
Yeah, it's called On Any Sunday.
He's being a bit of a bastard where he goes, oh, that sounds really interesting. Like, you know, a bit sarcastic, like, oh, God, that sounds really interesting.
Heard on Any Sunday? What was the show?
I think that's the one.
Might be. Yeah. Anyway, so get rid of that page. What's the front page of the Newcastle Herald?
Let me just get it. Give me a sec. Home hope. Hunter property prices holding up amid coronavirus lockdown. Okay, so
that's good.
This is by Michael Parrott. Hunter house prices have been more than immune to the coronavirus than many in the industry were predicting. Data issued on Monday that shows only a modest 0.3% drop in house prices in Newcastle and Lake Macquarie, the local government areas in May. The figures provided by the property analysis CoreLogic show prices at the Hunter fell less than 0.5%. Newcastle property agent Scott...
Okay, we'll move on from that one because property
prices... Yeah, move on from that one.
Yeah,
okay. And that's the front page of the Newcastle.
Okay. Right. It was my fault. I shouldn't have asked. All right.
You're fine. Okay. All right, mate. Here we go. We'll go to the Daily Telegraph.
Yes, the Telegraph.
Saturday.
That'll be an exaggerated story for sure.
Okay, let me find. Here we go. A tax to grind with state. I don't know where they're going.
All right, move on. Anything to do with finance, just forget about, because we know what's happening with it. It's going to go sideways.
All right. Let's go to this one. Newcastle Herald, higher rise.
Fuck that off. Fuck that.
We had massive waves here on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Well, I sent you some photos today from my, the walk I did on the headland. And it's just fantastic, beautiful. And you get to see, when you get out to the whale watch area, you get to see the, I like to take a roar out there. Oh, well.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Psychologist.com and click the Patreon button on the donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Ab.
A big shout out to Alex Lyson and Jenny Lee and now who was the drummer again?
You remember that? What was his fucking name? He's dead anyway.
Yeah, he's
dead.
Yeah. Neil Peart. Here we go. Let's go to the...
Right. Okay. So, look, the newspapers sound fucking too bullshit, so I'll tell you who I've been listening to.
No. Let me go with this one.
It'll be good.
So this is Australian-made campaign to reboot economy. Reboot? I sound Canadian when I say a boot.
Give me a shoot.
Okay, this is by Matthew Benz. One of the most successful ad campaigns in the nation's history is being rebooted on the back of the coronavirus pandemic. The original by Australian-made ads from the 80s will return in a modern twist to encourage customers, I like to say. I never like the word consumers. You always find
consumers. It is a true thing. They consume.
So to encourage consumers and survive their way out of this current crisis, it will launch on Monday with the slogan, "It's never been more important to buy Australian than right now."
So this is feeding into the narrative of the war with China, the fake war with China that's coming it's on the horizon, and America's going to lose the fake war with China, and China's going to take over as the world police. Be told, it's going to happen. It was foretold probably 100 years ago, or maybe 90 years ago. They had the meeting of the Commonwealth Heads of State where they said, China is to take over from America. America to go from England, and China will take over from America. So manufacturing will be encouraged here in Australia, so we can help, pretend to send troops or ships or whatever to this fake Cold War that's going to start. I mean, how can America have a war with a country that all its manufacturing is based in? It can't happen. It's impossible. It can't happen. The Cold War was fake. I mean, America and Canada provided all of wheat for Russia because the Russians, the communism didn't work. People weren't going to work. They were just sitting at home and getting, minimum wage payments. And their economy was going sideways. So America, like the Ford Foundation, had their, the Russian tanks were made with Ford tractor motors. It was a farce. The whole thing's a farce. And there's going to be a second farcical Cold War coming up after these riots die down. Be told to be another fake war with China. But it's impossible because China provides even us. I mean, they own most of Australia. They certainly own most of New Zealand. They've bought up our farms, our water and everything. So there's no way we can be at war with someone that owns us. That a fake war could happen, for sure. Absolutely.
Good point.
Every time you say "well, police," I always think of America. Fuck yeah, come to save the motherfucking day.
That was a really good
South. The guys from South Park.
They were. And immediately I saw a fake meme going on Facebook. It had a picture of what's the cop's name on The Simpsons? Chief Wiggum.
He had neck fat on the back of his
Yeah, there was a fake meme going around saying that The Simpsons predicted the George Floyd story, and there's a picture of Wiggum kneeling on a black guy's neck, and it was so obviously But the conspiracy type shared it, and I was like, what the fuck? I mean, surely you know that's fake. You spotted a mile off, you know. But I'm not saying The Simpsons haven't had a lot of predictive programming, because who was on Epstein's plane but the creator of The Simpsons on a regular basis? So he was getting fed his information by Mossad or whoever were running Epstein, and they were being told, put that in your thing, and put this in your thing, and we'll give you another foot massage from some 18-year-old or 16-year-old chick.
Wouldn't it be ironic if Ricky Gervais turned out that he was on Epstein? It never happened. I think Ricky Gervais is one of the nicest guys.
I think I put Ricky Gervais down, not up, with what's the English comedian, I'll call that in brackets, with the long hair, that wanker, he's a big time YouTuber now. The long-headed English comedian / thinker.
Are you talking contemporary, or are you talking old?
He's got long hair and a beard. I couldn't help. Yeah, well, he's got this Jesus look about him, and he's running, you know.
Tell me the story that you know.
Why was I mentioning that guy for? I
mentioned Ricky Gervais. I just said.
Ricky Gervais is a militant atheist, and every second thing he does is an anti-Christian thing. And he is funny. Now, I'm not saying he's not funny, because some of the shows are fantastic. I love the skit he did with Liam Neeson, when Liam Neeson.
Oh my God, that was gold.
He wants to become a comedian.
He wants to make a joke about AIDS. Liam Neeson. Duncan said, "This is real." And Ricky's going, like, come on, there's three freaking cameras here. Can't you tell? I have a lot of regard for that guy. His first movie when his daughter got kidnapped. What was that called? Taken or something? Was it?
Taken. Taken 1, Taken 2, yeah. 3. He plays a great thing. I like
movies like that. Your mate, he were Keanu, John Wick, those John Wick movies.
Revenge movies, they're called.
I've got a penchant for revenge flicks. The wife was talking about, the Uncle Bully and, Uncle Bully, that film. Once Warriors. I mean, the second one was no good. It was no good, the second one, but the third one, I mean, it was fantastic. You said you saw that in the actual cinema for the first time.
I went to the Dandy and saw it, and I walked out like absolutely blown away. I was like, when you get, you got your money's worth for that movie. It was a very emotional movie, but you know, Ricky Gervais, despite his funniness, which he is funny, he's constantly on about atheism and anti, he's very anti-Christian, and, you know, he'd be too scared to say something about Muslims, but you'll have a go. Everyone has a go at Christians. Very few will get up and say something about
there was a guy that wrote a book. What was his name? And they put a fatwa out on him, and that was interesting.
Yeah.
It was a book called
Salman Rushdie.
That's him. Yeah. Tell me what you know about that. Have you read it?
Well, no, but it would be a psyop because it was a very mainstream story, and you'll find that there'll be a reason why that was a mainstream story. Like, and there's nothing gets onto the news that is wanted to be on the news. They don't push a narrative like, you know, the Muslims are psychos.
Good point.
But it's all part of it.
My mother said to me when she, God bless her, and she was still alive, he was stoking the flame. I mean, she said to me, because she was an avid reader, she read lots and lots of books like that.
At the same time as the Satanic Verses came out, you had Gulf War One, Gulf War Two, you had bad Arab stuff. Yeah, the Arabs are evil, and the Muslims are bad, demonising.
I've met Muslims in my life, and they've been perfectly fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. I eat, my favourite food is Middle Eastern food, and I eat at several established Muslim things, and they're the loveliest people, absolutely, got no problem with them whatsoever. They don't push anything on you, but they'll share food and talk about stuff, and everything's fine, but if you're watching these narratives from Hollywood, it's bad Arabs, you know, Muslims, bad, they have to kill you. And if that was the case, I mean, you've got the biggest Muslim, we're in Australia now, right? We've got 25 million, is it? Right next to us, almost joined at the hip, we've got Malaysia and all those other countries that are, you know, 200 million or 300 million, I don't know how many, but they're all Muslim. But they don't seem to be out there to kill us, you know, apart from the occasional bombing that goes off, you know, to plug another narrative. So, yeah, I've got no problem at all with Muslims.
Oh, sorry, mate. And my phone blew out again.
No, it's all good.
Really?
We used to not talk, but I keep talking, so it's not going to make any difference.
It's all good, mate. Yeah. I was just on the point of converting to Islam. I've never felt the need to convert or whatever. But I'm not an atheist. I'm not a Christian. I'm not anything like that. Yeah.
I have no problem with anyone that has a belief in a higher power that's bigger than them and respects the higher power and, you know, refuses to, you know, think that they're better than everyone else. And atheists do think they're better than everyone else. And that's why they've got Ricky Gervais, who pushes an atheist bent, but will not talk about Muslims because he knows what very well he's in England, and England's almost going to become a Muslim state within 10 years, maybe, I would say.
Wow. Do you remember Dave Allen?
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, Dave Allen. He said that great gag about the Catholics, you know, because he was against Catholicism. And then when you go up to heaven, there's a giant wall, and everyone's on one side of the wall. And he said, the Catholic, who's on the other side of the wall? The Catholics, because they're the only ones that think they're the only ones here.
Dave Allen cut his teeth in comedy in Australia.
He
was one of the funniest comedians of the 70s, I think. Benny Hill for sight gags. Dave Allen for long-running jokes, you know, and the most incredible technique of talking, doing a long story and then, you know, having a great punchline.
Exactly. Remember, apparently he got his, I've seen the biopic. He got his, index finger when he got that cut off. And his father was, his father said to him, just invent a funny story every time.
Yeah.
He
used to sit there drinking out of a, what looked like vodka, but he'd say it was holy water.
God, because it was much.
I think he used to have a clear glass in front of him, because it could have been vodka, because you can't, you can spot scotch, it's brown, you know, it could be tea, but.
I always thought he was a scotch drinker, but that's okay.
He used to always hold up a glass of water and say it was vodka, but that was just, might have been just it probably was just water. But yeah, great comedian.
Great comedian. He was a legend. Dave Allen. I'll raise my glass to him.
Dave Allen at large.
Yeah. Let me do a chink thing. Ready?
I'll do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, chink. Yeah, do a chink. Yeah, there we go. That sounds great.
I'm drinking out of my gold-lipped vintage beer glasses at the moment.
Yeah. I saw that picture. You just sent it to me.
Yeah.
What was the story? You were just driving around and
I have been finding things on the side of the road for many, many years. And FOR is what my abbreviation is. Like I find, but most of my furniture came from the side of the road. I'll see something on the side of the road, like, you know, people throwing out something that's good and I'll grab it. But the other day I was driving along and I found a perfect set of eight vintage.
That was brilliant. That was brilliant. Do you know what that reminded me of you? Because you remind me of a womble. You know, like, calling are we? The wombles of Wimbledon, calling are we? Making the use of the things that we find. Things that the everyday folk leave behind.
Guess what? Well, I spent time running a woman. I didn't see any wombles, but I went to fantastic pub. That's a great spot, man. Wimbledon. Great memories of that place. And the most beautiful area.
When you're in Wimbledon because it's not Wimbledon, it's Wimbledon with a D. Yeah. Yeah, that's when you're in...
I love it.
That's right. And they play the tennis. Well, they used to back then. Hey, did you see that picture of Federer and Bill Gates playing double? Playing double.
That was me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, tell me about that story. What's going on there?
Well, obviously, there was a celebrity tennis match and Roger Federer and Bill Gates were teamed up together. I mean, honestly, I do really think Bill Gates is a woman. I mean, I listen to his voice now, and I cannot hear a male voice. And he's got the shoulder span of a female, head shoulder span. And you can tell, they reckon a female has a half, or there's a certain span of head to shoulder ratio. And Bill Gates is not looking like a bloke, I'm sorry. And his voice is very much... It's a bit too hot.
He does. Yeah. And we're going to vaccinate all 7 million of you.
We're going to do some amazing things. Amazing things. You know, he's got the voice. And I'm saying he might be a woman. And I mean, honestly, Kevin Kline's
playing. What do you reckon is going to happen with all these immuno passports that they're going to give us? Well, do you think they're mostly going to... Hey, Greta, do you think they're going to end up in the industry? I'm going to throw mine away. I'll throw my immuno passport away. There's no way I'm going
to
take...
If they ask you at the bottle shop to provide them a passport, what are you going to... You're just going to have to get your wife to get one. Because you won't be... You won't be getting served. You won't be getting served in any pub without a passport in the future. And these things will be. I can see the patent. You know, they deliberately use the 6666 patent number for the
number of the beast.
Yeah, no, it was four sixes, which still adds up to 24, which two and four is six. I'd say that that's coming for sure. I can't see that.
Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Well, geez, American burn.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
My name's Dad. My name's Tom Belker, and you're listening to Psychologist.com.
Tom Belker from Scotland. Tom Belker from Scotland.
Big shout out to Tommy Dalper for another nutmeg. Nutmeg.
Yeah, funny, you should, Tom Belker should pop up.
I do that.
I've been listening to The Stranglers today, and his friend was the keyboardist from The Stranglers. What a fantastic lot of songs.
The Stranglers, that's right, Golden Brown.
They had so many good songs. And
But Golden Brown was their biggest hit. Golden Brown.
Might have been. They had some. My favourite one was didn't have the money round to buy a Maurice Bauer. What's it called? Whatever that song was. And there was Nice and Sleazy. That was a good song. And I was playing them today. As I was doing playing Splendid Mods, and that song Double Diamond, that is a great song, and I love the video. The guy that took it obviously owns the rights to it, because when you actually watch it, it comes up with another guy's name. He must have filmed it for him for free.
Do you know what I like? Do you know what I like mostly about Splendid Mods? Is that you just tell that they're just two best mates, and they really are, and you've got a super talent who does the keyboard and the super talent and Jason, my God, I love that song.
Jason Williams does the state of consciousness blathering of just anything that comes in his head, but his friend is the guy that produces the loops. He just finds a beat and loops it and then uses that.
Yeah.
So Jason can just rave and blather.
Oh,
but I love it. And these guys have been deemed, and I believe it too, that the missing link to good music from the punk era, people that want to hear something that's fresh and sounds great, those guys have got, there's no one else doing that kind of stuff. Not as good as they are anyway. And I love it. I think they're my favourite band, 100%.
Well, what Tom Dalper said was, I'm not into contemporary music, but older.
I can be the same, but at least when you're listening to them, you're listening to a guy just having a good rave. I sent you the clip of The Prodigy and Sleep and Mods.
They were great. I like Prodigy. Oh, yeah. Man.
Keith Flint, rest in peace, Keith Flint. The song that...
Oh, yeah. Bells of bass, but candles of... yeah, the singing. Bass, yeah.
Jim Carrey is a good comedian, I think. And his role model
is... He's dying. He spent the whole night in a grand piano.
Remember the movie...
On stage, because he...
What was the movie for number 23, or the number... What was it called? Number
23? It was a book written by Top Secrets. Yeah, it was a good movie. I enjoyed that. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was a great movie. Great movie.
Jim Carrey wanted to go from comedy to into more dramatic roles, and you'd think that would be kind of conspiratorial. The number 23 everywhere. It's like the number 11 everywhere.
Well, I was disappointed in the movie, to be honest, but it was a good movie. But the soundtrack, though, to what we were just talking about, the Charlie's Angels had Make My Bitch in the soundtrack, which was a good
Prodigy.
Good band. And my favourite song from Prodigy is Poison.
I got the poison. I got the remedy.
That one. That's an awesome song.
Yeah, it's a great song. Yeah.
Great beat. I love the beat. Great beat. But anyway, Steve and Mod did a song with the Prodigy, which I sent to you yesterday.
Yeah, Diamonds. The Diamonds one? Yeah.
No, another one. It's called Ibiza.
It's called Ibiza.
And it's by Prodigy and Sleep and Mod. Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad. I keep my head in a bit of content. I like some weird stuff. I don't like normal music. It's got to have something weird about it. But anyway, what else can we talk about before? Because I think we'll disappear soon.
Oh, hold on. Let me grab another newspaper. Here we go. Okay. Let me grab another one. I don't know. I've already read that one. These are real newspapers, by the way. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Dolan. Okay. Dolan. So here we go. We've got... Okay. Yeah, let's go to another story here.
Nothing to do with property or money. Because we know
okay.
Wrong. Yeah. Something
oh, time. Look at this. Here we go. A ray of sunshine for die-hard Knights fans. Okay, this is by Max McKinney. Brendan Avery reckons there is still one more sleep until rugby league is really back. When his beloved Newcastle Knights finally return to the field, the 31-year-old has been following the Knights for as long as he can remember. The club's famous 1997 grand final victory is his earliest footy memory. And he remembers it, in quotes, vividly.
In other words,
okay, Miss Avery,
a complete imbecile.
Okay, we're here in the live stream.
Hey, baby.
And what's, who am I here with? I'm here with Tom Dalper. And today's, Sunday, May the 31st, 2020. G'day, Tom.
Fucking talking about it's the 2nd of June.
I've got the wrong paper in front of me.
You're so fucking drunk. Listen to this cunt. You don't even know what fucking day of fucking year, month, gory calendar. Have you not been paying attention to the fucking narrative? Cunt. So fucking stupid. You come across as so fucking racist. Fucking hell. Still a second. Then we have this Floyd fucking shit going on. Anyway. So it's relevant really. Olo's here. Tom is here. And yeah, we've been here for a while. Really at fakeologist.com.
Yeah, lockdown. Lockdown in our lockdown. Because those in power want us to stay in our homes. We had no... We have no ability.
Sean, by the way, a cunt. Hey, go on, carry on. We're in our own. Yeah.
Oh, Sean. Are you talking about SMJ?
Yeah.
SMJ? Well, I like SMJ, even though he's a nigger.
As a fucking nigger. Like a fucking girl. Tell your fight.
She's good.
It's fine.
I spoke to
her. It's important to me that you do. In a way. And I know you're alright, but in a fucking stupid sort of way. I love you.
I spoke to Ashika today. Yeah. She's fine.
You still talking?
Yes, I did. Yeah. She was at Parramatta Stadium. She's wonderful. She's in such a upbeat mood. And she loves us here at the Fakeologist. Yeah. And she's a nigger too. You know that? She's black.
Okay.
You know that? Yeah.
Okay.
I never had a problem with the word. It's just, I think what Dave J said best, it's intent how you say it.
I'm a wop. Tone is, yeah, no, he talks about tone. Which
oh, you're good. A wop. Yeah. You remember back in the day.
Listen. Without papers, yeah. It were the Italians, I think, in New York back. That's where the wop name came from. Without papers. I don't know. It came from a bit silly without papers. And that's how they perhaps got a bit more secretive and they had the underground sort of connection with the mafia, maybe. Somehow the Italian
sure.
didn't have without papers.
swaps, but you
do remember, Tom.
Great grandfather was Italian, and I've occasionally been called a WOP. Okay, big fucking deal. We do know. It's very interesting with the Floyd thing. Because in a culture, it's always been matured, hasn't it? Roots to, Alex Haley, the Navy scribe, who wrote that plagiarized novel. And to who else is it? Alex Harvey. Keep with the thread, Tom. I was almost going well there.
You're right. Hey, we'll keep it pop culture. I remember, back in the day, remember it too, it was called Forty Towers. These niggers are wogs. You remember? And then they removed it all from Forty Towers, remember?
Jagger, white nigger.
That's your old mate, what's his name, Johnny Lydon. Yeah, he's great. I won't call him in past tense, I'll call him in present tense, because he's still with us. Yeah.
I just had this conversation with my daughter, who's 16 years old, and she's normal, she's listening to the culture, she's taking it in now, and I can't stop her doing that. I can't be near her and just affect everything she's taking in. She's taking in everything. She is saying, she's really strong about, but it's a fucking travesty, man, and she's righteous about it. I'm fucking with her on the level, yeah?
How old is your daughter again? Sorry, Tom. Tom, how old is your daughter?
15. So she's talking about...
That difficult age. Is she still a virgin?
Learning your identity. She most definitely is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a little way off it yet, finding her real feet. But, she's sweet. She's talking to me. We're talking in
depth. Tom, when did you lose your virginity?
I was 18 in Chippenham, Suffolk, in England, in 1986.
Yeah, and how old were you? How old?
I just said it, but I was 18. I was on acid.
18. Let me tell you a story.
Not finished.
My best friend, his uncle fucked him at 13 in the bumhole.
Well, that's not losing your virginity, is it? That's just being fucked in the bumhole.
Yeah, by your uncle. Like, your uncle fucked you in the bumhole.
Yeah, that's fucked up. I can only say I don't fucking approve.
And he's my best friend. There's no love in that.
He is your best friend.
Yes. My best friend.
He's okay now.
He's my best friend. He's still okay. He's fine. He's fine.
Okay.
He makes the best wine. He takes me down into the back cave. Yeah, he is just my best friend of all time. I mean, I love you, Tom, and I love my New Zealander friend over there. I think he's closely becoming my best friend. Rick, Exoteric 64, is becoming closely my best friend.
I didn't think Rick was a Kiwi. Is he a Kiwi?
Yes, he came over here, yeah.
Okay. Rick is my impression of Rick is he's like a really nice guy, and earnest, and who I like very much. He's come out with a few things which I thought, so I've been here for years, you know what I mean? I think you're naive, to an extent, you know what I mean? And I thought he was just a little bit of perspective, needed a bit of tweaking, to an extent. His enthusiasm and his love of exploring this subject, these new ideas, and he came out with it with the Bitcoin. He said, "Oh yeah, Bitcoin." He related it to mythology, the Bitcoin, Sharon Zobel, and very simple. Such a simple idea in a way, but beautiful. I mean, thank you, Rick, for that. That's why I'm here.
What I like about you What I Like About You. Remember that song?
What I Like About You. What?
Oh, you got your, What I Like About You, you make me smile.
I've got it. All right, Sean. Get out of order.
What I Like About You. I can't wait to get back. I can't wait to get back over to the UK.
I didn't even fucking be in the UK in the fucking first place. The fucking island. Fucking
I was born in the fucking UK. I was born in Barrow in Furness.
Oh, yeah. I know. Shut up. Listen. Commented Dell, and he doesn't even fucking want to see you anymore because he thinks you're a fucking liability. He went fire off about fucking nigga this, not gonna get it, fucking blah, 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 you can. You know. so he don't want to talk to you more. Bless you, where are you? We both love you. You know that. But, yeah, I can understand why he did. Then you went up to fucking Colombia to see fucking Gaia. Went up, yeah, what the fuck happened there? To your point. And he thinks you're fucking
You should have come out and said,
Let's hear it. So, Rolo goes to fucking Columbia. Meet fucking Gaia. What's your version?
Well, I went over there. I went over there and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I had a really good time. But he kind of screwed me out of my camera. He screwed me out of $2,000. I don't like the guy anymore. There you go. It's as simple as that.
Well, we can hear the birds in the background there where you are. It's fucking paradise. I've seen them.
It is paradise.
It is. It is. I mean, Eternal
Some things will never change. Diddling, diddling, diddling. Things will never change.
What I think, into 2015's, 2015's Flat Earth style, it was undoubtedly...
Are you ever going to take a needle? Are you ever going to take a needle on Bill Gates? Is Bill Gates going to ever allow you to take a needle?
I was fucked up, right? I was fucked up really bad. I went to the hospital and I said, and what they did, put a needle in my vein, put a strain on dripping, put a needle in my vein, again, and it fucking sorted me out. You go steady, don't you be so afraid, it fucking scares you, because most people can help you.
Okay.
Every fucking junction. Let's be wary about the big picture. Don't have to take fucking needles, you're not gonna. Paul had them at school. I had them at school. Three needles, months ago. I've not even fucking researched fucking immunization and everything, but I fucking had loads. So, you know, has it done me any harm that I know of? Really fucking honest with you? Don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, well, let me tell you this. When I was a young man, my mother, who died a couple of years ago, she told me about the needle that my grandfather took, and it killed him. Yeah, it was a reaction.
Yeah.
And he died. He was blue. Blue in the bar.
Apoplectic shock or something. It's very
I know. It was awful, awful.
And you...
Yeah, because you know what his nickname... His name was Ernie, right? His name was Ernie.
Ernie, he drove a milk cart in the West.
Yeah, and he took the needle and just to come to Australia. And, his nickname was Tub, right? That was his nickname. Now, because I'll tell you the best story, right? My father looked like one of the Beatles back in the day, and my father was an artist, and he's not a bullshit artist. He was a painter, and he worked at
in a place in Middle England. Where was it? It was,
Berkshire.
Anyway, I'm getting old now, so, look, I don't mind. It was where they did experimental shit. And he didn't want to have anything to do with it. Yeah. And he was in the military. My father was in the military, like your mate, what was his name, from Katrina and the Waves. He was a military guy, right?
Okay. Actually, well, the drummer,
Alex,
from Katrina and the Waves, his father was, an admiral. An admiral in the Navy. And it was my the first person told about Martianess Psyop, those terms. It's bizarre, and he's a friend of mine. So I saw.
Yeah, my father worked at Morton Downs. Sorry,
The fucking look I got from him. The first time I saw him, after I'd put that in on fucking psychologist.com, and you realise, you know what? I think yes, he's true. His father is, you know, obviously an admiral in the Navy, and PSYOPs are the business of the military and a level, and his son went to Cambridge. He became a drummer in a band called Katrina the Waves, and then a mate who was just a very talented local musician and an intelligent guy, good at songwriting, kind of in with that band, two Americans, and the drummer, the admiral's son. And the two Americans, son and a daughter of US Air Force people, got the connections here and there, got it promoted. The song Walking on Sunshine was just so up vibey that promoting it around the world.
Brilliant.
Caught on. I mean, these things are organic as well. It had to be good to catch on. You know, it's like, where is the hidden hand there? You know, where does it work? I don't know, but I live right with it. A mate of mine, 10 years, Kim and I had played snooker together every week. Other than a lovely guy. He played in a band called the Soft Boys. We were a cool Cambridge band as well, you know.
It would have been awesome. I can only imagine how awesome it was. My father worked at Porton Down. Now, Porton Down, was a place, where was it? Up there, near Rugby, right?
I do apologize if I come across that I'm interjecting. Not at all. Especially, I'm trying to be compliment what you're saying. At Porton Down.
Yeah, well, you're from Cambridge, and I know it. I shouldn't say what I said before. Where you were born. Oh, no, no. Of that band, how you explained to Frank how it was, like the beginning to the end of that song, like, you know, the drum beat, and then the horns come in. Yeah, it was, like, again, the best song. I don't know how you managed it, but be in the perfect place at the perfect time. And, and now we're at the perfect place at the perfect time in this COVID-19 nonsense thing, you know, and we can talk to each other When I went, I was from Ireland, the potato famine and whatever, and I was over, and I had the managed to get over there to see, Delcroix. Delcroix, what a guy. And we went up there, and we went up to see when back in the day, you know, Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland, you know, with the Catholics and the Protestants, all that trouble, we got to see all of that.
Rolo, you and I used to speak to Del a lot back in the old days, and if he ever did get to hear us, because I haven't spoken, and I haven't spoken like this for ages. If he did get to hear this, we just thought, we're going to have a group hug here, aren't we? We're going to say,
big time.
No, we love you, Del, because we go back, we had loads of conversation in the evening, we had company, and it felt like sanity, didn't it? And, you know, yeah.
Let me tell you a story, Tom. My grandfather was brought into the IRA.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Shreya from Florida, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Big shout out to Freya from Fakeologist.com. My grandfather had he killed people because he was in the IRA. He was recruited. My grandfather, not my father. Yeah.
Your father was doing what you said before. Hold on quickly.
Yeah. He killed people. The English. Yeah.
Okay, he was Irish. Your father.
Yeah.
What? Father did what?
My father came from Ireland. He met my mother in Birmingham.
Okay.
And then they had me. You know, they had sex and they had me, right?
And then
we emigrated to Australia.
Yeah, okay. So you got an Irish father, an English mother, and you're in Australia when you're born, after you're born.
After I was,
Yeah. Sure.
But my father told me stories about my grandfather, who was recruited and had to kill, like, you remember there was a movie that Liam Neeson did. It was called Michael Collins, right? Do you remember him? Michael Collins?
It's almost like I can remember the box.
Liam Neeson.
Apparently.
Yeah, Liam Neeson played him. Yeah.
A huge penis. One of the biggest penises in Hollywood. And why did I have to...
That's say right, because you're talking about when Ricky Gervais interviewed him and he wanted to do stand-up.
I don't know why penis size, because apparently you've got a fucking whopper as well. I mean,
It's so big. They call me a tripod. My dick's so big, they call me a tripod. Yeah.
It's my fault. But look. I don't care about the men listening to this, but it's the ladies more than anything. Because I think...
Exactly.
I care about them.
Let me tell you an old adage. It's not how big it is, it's where you stick it.
To be honest, I mean, I am average. And at the end of the day, you know, you are what you are. It is what it is. The truth is the truth. And therefore, you live what you live with. You accept what you have, like life and death itself. And I'm very happy with my lot. And it's fantastic. And I would say pretty much most people should be with their lot. You know what I mean? Whatever shape, size, which I mentioned, you are naturally and healthily.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
It does.
Yeah, work. I mean, I don't care how many chicks you fucked. And back in the day, I remember having a chat with that fellow from Colombia. I won't mention his name because he still owes me something.
Tell you what.
He does. He owes me something. Yes, he does. Yeah, camera.
If you've got any other fucking good drugs. I'm then one.
He owes me a camera. He owes me a camera and he owes me $2,000.
Yeah, I've got this woman, right? If I get the right drugs, the so sexy drugs, you know, make her want to make love to me, me make one of her, enhance our relationship. Is that E? What do I need? Give me the drugs that I need. Like, you're in Australia now. I know you're in Brazil. You can do this for me. You can do it wrong.
Turn the fucking audio chat live stream. Ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Fakeologist. God. Fucking. Tom.
It's top shelf, Tom.
Yourself, who's the most famous person you ever met?
Emmy, probably.
Lemmy from Motorhead.
That I really was personal. Yes, thank.
Yeah. Rick met him, and the way Lemmy came out on stage, Rick said, I throw a cigarette down, and people would be grasping for it. Yeah. Lemmy, unbelievable.
Who's the most famous person you ever met?
Angus Young.
Oh, Angus Young. Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he played a guitar called Gibson, and he was in a band called AC/DC, and, it was just a wonderful band. It just, not hard rock, but just, simple songs. With A-bought blues, A-bar blues. Yeah.
Look, AC/DC fill a slot in rock, but you can't take them, you can't talk about rock street without them. They do, without a doubt. From Australia, they're, I would say, really, you could say In Excess and, Added House, you could say, no one can.
No, AC/DC. Yeah. And Rick, Exoteric 64, used to live in Balmain. And, I think he met Malcolm Young, who kept all the money, from the band. Remember, Kimberly Rue, who, did I'm Walking on Sunshine, who you're closely associated with. Gave all the money, to the band,
let me talk for a second, because that's an important thing. That's a very interesting thing. If I could go back to my youth when we had a band, we started a band, I would say 100% Ed, the royalties between all of you. Don't, when songs come up, the songwriter or the song producer say that it's Lennon and McCartney or Dagger and Richards. That was simply the mistake that we made, because we just grown up so much with that kind of that heritage of English rock. We thought that you had to have a duo to write the songs, and of course, I'd written them with another guy in the band. It didn't involve the others, and then the writing of it. We said, it wasn't dishonest to us at the time. It was just fucking totally unconstructive, like you two did, or like my friend Kimberly did. Absolutely the most healthy way, the healthiest way to go forward in a group of people, in a business.
It's like a handshake. It's a handshake. I'll give you an example. The guy from Pink Floyd, not the Floyd in America, but Pink Floyd, right? When he left the band, the main guy, he did so much LSD back in the 60s, right?
I'm from Cambridge, England. I knew him. I saw him every day for 10 years. What do you want? What do you want to know about Steve Barrett? I'm Tom Dalper. A legend in my fucking lunchtime in Cambridge, England. Sid Barrett is a fucking world legend for all time.
Yeah, and they looked after him too. So when Sid left, and old mate, Roger Waters was a fantastic singer.
My neighbour. He's like, I know his mum. He died 2 years. But I did the street party and his mum's street. Eh?
Yeah.
Street in Cambridge. But his mum.
Yeah.
93. And they didn't speak. It's like 93. And they were still a fucking loggerhead. Amazing, isn't it? She was still driving a car at that age as well.
Wow.
Well, back now. She'd be 700 if she's still alive now. I don't think she is. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I'll let you know next time I talk to you. Sorry.
That's okay. But I knew people
in the pub that were good friends with Nick Mason, the drummer. Nick, I don't know how well you knew him. How well did you know Nick?
I used to suck his cock a lot
when Dave Gilmore,
Sid Harris.
So you met him many times, yeah.
Yes, I did. I didn't talk to him like meet him many times. It was a couple of times we said a word or two. He was a virtual neighbour to mine 10 years in Cambridgeshire. And I knew him and saw him very often. He was eccentric. He was a local a character that people knew. His bike. I've got a bike. You can ride it if you like.
My favourite song is Emily Play. Seeing Emily Play is my favourite song. But there you go.
Oh, that's a great single. I love that stuff. The weird thing was, I was from Surham, which was like 20 miles away from Cambridge, growing up, and at sort of 14, 15, we're talking about my daughter's age earlier, we played that song by Pink Floyd. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a bike, you can ride.
Yeah, I know it.
Like it's got a fast, it's a thousand rings of things to make it look good. I'd give it to you if I could. If I'd buy it.
So good.
Greatest fucking song in the world to me.
How much acid was he on? How much acid was he on?
Did it to me.
Will you write that, sorry? Will you write that?
I'm here. Where are you? I'm romanticized. Induced endorphins in my body. It truly did, right? Made me feel something weird, special. Couldn't believe it. It was fantastic. Beyond the realms of normality, which I craved, I found it. So there we had it. Sid Barrett. So there I am inside, 20 miles down the road, waiting from Cambridge. Fucking hell. Perhaps I was part of it. Thought it was local. It felt I could relate to it. There it was. Goodbye. So he's 20 miles down the road. I finally fucking
get. That is so cool.
I finally get into Cambridge. I'm moving.
And you don't look at Sid as, I want an autograph. Can I have your autograph, please, or whatever? It's the same as you, Tom.
Let me finish the story. So this is a kid, hero worship and Sid Barrett. And I moved into Cambridge, the first fucking place I got in Cambridge in 1990. The first day I moved in,
yeah.
I was with this girl, Sinead Durbin, a fucking gorgeous fucking Irish. Oh, lovely. But we were at the Greenton Road post office. In there, mm-hmm. I was waiting for some kind of funding, yeah, so it could help me moving in this place. I had some kind of money or something. So I was unemployed. I was in a band at the same time, blah, 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 blah. It's the day I moved into Cambridge. Listen to me, because I have the background to this story. I moved in the first day into the post office, and there was this guy in there. He was kind of, he was bald-headed, a little bit overweight. His eyes were dark. Yeah, there was just something about him. There's a guy in there waiting for his money as well, same as me. It was good. The first day, Rolls.
This is the official story. The official story was, when he came in, and Shine On Your Crazy Diamond. They wrote that after Sid, right? S-Y-D. Shine On You Crazy Diamond. Yeah. It was so legendary to write a song after someone who was, and look after you. And a lot of people don't understand that. Yeah. Sid,
that.
Wish you were here. Wish you were here was my favorite.
Can we sing it together? Come on, let's do it together.
No, not yet. Let me give me a fucking moment. It's my prelude. Bless you.
You're all right.
The Barrett stuff, I didn't really go for the rest of that stuff, but Wish You Were Here meant something to me. Yeah, I like that somehow. Yeah, I do very much like Wish You Were Here. So, yeah, remember when you were young?
Boys in the sun.
Shine on your great diamond. Had the first joy in. Fucking love it. It's early morning there. Oz, right?
You can all the birds are around here.
And you're in the fucking jungle there with the birds, paradise birds. Hey, man. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous, lovely.
Oh, yeah, and you're gorgeous too. Hey, you. Yeah, one of them's gutting all the seed.
Come on, okay.
I love it here, man. I love it here. I think when Pink Floyd really hit their top shelf was The Wall. But I don't know, but I really did love that song. The what was the one you were saying before? I'm a bit drunk. Oh yeah, so okay, so how it goes, how's it going?
John,
no.
Not only Crazy Diamond, or
no.
Wish you were here,
he goes. So you think you can tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain, can you tell a green field? From a cold steel rail, a smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell? Do they get you to trade your heroes for ghosts, your hot ashes for threes, hot air for a cool breeze, cold comfort for change? Do you exchange a walk on top in the wall for a lead role in the cage? How I wish you were here. We're just two lost souls in swimming in a fishbowl. Year after year, running over the same old ground. How we found the same old fears. Wish you were here. And Del Clark sung that in Canada.
Hey, fuck, I didn't even know I knew that. Huh? He dragged that out. Thanks. It's Cambridge, England, and they're fucking Sid Barrett.
Here's the Sid. I wish I could see Emily play.
He was real. He was fucked up by something, and that was story. That bird was fucking loud. No, man. How long do I need to hold this microphone?
See Emily play. I wish I could back in the day, Tom, I could, when I was a producer, I would put See Emily play because I think Sid Barrett, I mean, let me put my hand on my heart right now and just say, Sid Barrett. Seriously, why not? Because we're Pink Floyd, we wouldn't have... what was the song where they go, they sing, who's Pink? Remember that one? Tom.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Thank you to Velocet, and Velocet did that for, Hope Syndicate, HopeSyndicate.com. You still there, Tom?
No cunting dead air on fucking live stream, mate, so you ain't got no fucking air, do
you? You still there? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Alright.
Sorry. All right, mate. I do apologise. My
uncle. Hey, don't be sorry. Hey, Tom. You will be sorry. Oh, man.
I'll be fucking sorry.
I swear to God.
Yes.
Once in lockdown.
I'm recording you. Every fucking time.
Oh, okay.
It'll be a fucking video. You ever do?
Once they finish this lockdown.
This guy is what he portrays himself to be. Fucking nightmare. Alcoholic. Mm. Fucking inheritance, fucking trust fund, fucking living on fucking hustle from I'm just some fucking arsehole, fucking gonna be fucking loser, hack musician, Cambridge. So, I like the...
Hey. Once they finish this lockdown thing, and they start international flights, the next flight I'll do, I'll get back there and I'll meet up with you.
Okay, do it.
And look, you're not worried about me coughing on you. I just, a virtual cough on you.
Let's have it. We'll fucking have it out fucking in the flesh. And we'll fucking see what's fucking going on, won't we? We'll film it. We'll show you all. We're not fucking afraid of anything.
We're not. But Sally, I used to be afraid. Hey, Tom, tell them. Let me tell you a story. Back in the day, I used to be afraid of flying. I used to be afraid of flight.
I'm terrified.
Because I didn't, we're all afraid of what we don't know. Right? Okay, so when I was gripping. Yeah, because I was never taught how to fly an airplane. Frank has an airplane. Frank, an ounce of salt today, has an airplane. An old one. But back in the day, taking off, it would frighten me. I had my wife next to me, and she said, don't worry, it's not going to... She's the best person in the world.
No, mine was, what I had to do was get her to give me a blowjob while we were taking off. As long as she had a fucking cob around my brain, and I could relax.
Why not?
No, but I was there on, as a on the transatlantic flight, her jaw would get tired.
Secreting your ginormous phallus. I swear to God, I tell you. No, she's fine. She's fine.
Time rather than length of phallus. Average world. Nothing more than a handful. You know what I'm saying? I am modest and I don't mean to be pretentious. Penis size. No, you've got a cock like a fucking horse. My Little Pony.
My Zappy.
Fuck it is. You've all
I don't know what to do with it. I don't know where to stick it.
A little bit fractious these days. You like to keep it down.
There's a little too much friction, yeah.
Rearing up.
Nah, it's all good. It's all good, Tom. Because I know you're a...
I've got
a... You're used to groupies, aren't you?
Mate, I'm a man of the fucking world, if I'm not anything. Okay? I don't care if I'm not as fucking a man of the world as someone, or a man of the world as another person. You know what? He's a fucking man of the world at this point.
He is. You are. You are a man of the fucking world. And I tell you what, when it comes to dipping the dipstick, you just got to know where to dip it.
Respect, but you want to know from me. Huh? I got something. But, I go, what
you know the guys from Molly Crew, this is the story I heard.
There's this American band, Motley Crue, smoking in the boys' room. The drummer, went for Vince Neil, wasn't it? Went for 3 days and just fucking, I'm like, once I blow my load, I lose interest. Once I can't keep my load in my pants.
I can't talk about this properly. Let's get this down. Okay. Be clear.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Once one blows one's load, man.
Yeah.
You need a fucking recovery period. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you get the right company, all of it could then produce a reappearance. And maybe only once more or whatever in a certain period of time.
No, I can't do it. No, it doesn't work for me.
Go to bed, and it's going to have to be the next day? Is that what we're talking?
No. I can't go 3 days straight. I just can't. I need to build up whatever the hell's going on in my body to get it back.
I've got a friend of mine, she's a girlfriend, actually, and her and I recently identified with the same thing that we'd done at a certain period in our lives, when we were suffering from anxiety, we masturbated constantly. Mm.
I've never wanked once in my life. It's so funny. When people say they're not a wanker.
Hold on. You are joking, yeah? Joking?
Yeah, joke. All you want.
I've wanked, yeah. Okay, so what I'm saying...
So have I, many times.
Me and this girlfriend said that, yeah, at a certain point in our lives, we masturbated in the course of a day, intensely, maybe obviously multiple times, six, seven, eight times to try and sort of calm our own nerves. But it's an interesting conversation about orgasms. You're saying you can't
oh, yeah.
Six in a day, seven in a day, maybe in my sort of healthy, in my head.
It is healthy. It is healthy. Don't worry about that. I'm 50 years old. I know it's healthy, and,
if you get older and still have sex, it doesn't mean that it's not healthy. But no, it is.
Yeah. We don't all have to be the hedgehog and fuck, 10,000 women. It's like, we don't have to do that.
No.
Okay. No. I'm telling you. It's not healthy. It's not healthy, unless you have, some sort of relationship where you go, we have an open relationship with my wife, and I can go on and fuck whatever, I'm not talking about animals here, but I'm talking about, other things.
Items of furniture.
Mollusks. Mollusks. Yes. Why not? I'm just talking. Yeah, reasonable. Yeah. Bush pigs.
I can identify with that. Are you admitting here in this conversation you have an open relationship with your wife, whereby you could fuck anything you wanted to. Any person.
Well, saying I don't. I went to Colombia, and I could have had anything I wanted, and they were beautiful. And I didn't, because why? Why? Because once you blow your load, yeah. It's like Elon Musk. The most craziest of guys who build the electric car, right? That guy? Oh god, I've got a bloody bird on my head right now. Go away, go away. Shoo, shoo. Yeah. Yeah, he was wonderful. I mean, I like the guy. I look at him and just like, well, good luck. You build the electric car.
He is a figurehead, a frontman, a
puppet. Is that right? What do you know about him?
I know nothing about him. I really don't. I sort of absorb things most by osmosis these days. You know, I just somehow just can't seem to keep turning the television on.
Well, let's go back to what you do know. Let's go back to what you do know.
I know.
All right. Back in the 60s, right? Back in the 60s, did you watch television? Did you even know how the television was invented?
2.5 years old. Two years old. I watched television. What are you fucking talking about? I was born in 67.
67? Oh, yeah, I was born in 69. I was in my mother's womb. Did we land on the moon?
What do you mean, have you not got over that yet? For fuck's sake! Give me the fucking program! You fucking joke! Alright!
Didn't your mate in Pink Floyd write, like, what was the album in 1973? A Dark Side of the Moon.
Out of your fucking
Raving on the Moon, your mate. You're
trying to fucking run those arseholes.
Leave my arsehole out of this.
2020 is a fucking man in fight.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you sound like Type A. Here's big shout out to Type A. Yeah, why not? We love the guy. He fucked Tiffany, you remember that? In his younger days.
The mate. He's
alright. He's alright.
The thing about, terrible people. Like you were talking about, it's nothing about penis size, but if there's a certain girth you've got for a certain woman, it doesn't even matter if it's 1 inch high. If you're wide on the ground and short in the air, you still produce the most wonderful orgasms of ladies. And Alpha, I beseech anyone listening to this audio, come forward and...
Why not? Yeah, short and thick does the trick, isn't that the old saying?
And Marvin, bonsoir, monsieur. Cochon.
I don't speak Spanish.
It's fucking plant, isn't it?
Oh, it's me.
Pas mal. Et toi?
How you doing, big fella? How you doing?
Just give me a minute, please. Just time to plug my...
Benoit. Oh, Benoit is going to play some tunes. All right, here we go. Benoit, can you play some Bruce Hornsby?
Blunt, but I do like a bit of Benoit. I mean, I felt like a...
I love him. I love him too.
Yeah, I thought I could talk...
I've never met him, but he's a very handsome fella.
The fuck are you,
hey, Benoit, can you play Bruce Hornsby, Some Things Will Never Change?
Bruce,
can you start Craigbot? Craigbot?
Yes, Bruce. Hey, yeah.
He's our producer, the Medusa. He's a producer, Medusa.
Bruce Hornsby and the Rams, that would be.
Because I need to have a piss. I really do.
I can understand
that. For a fact, I've been talking too loudly into my microphone.
No, you're right, Tom. Tom, take it easy, mate.
We'll be right back.
Donation. Thank you for your support. In my
dream, I have a plan. Alright, yeah, Bruce Hornsby, some things will never change.
I did not know that song, but I did know the remix from the rap artist Tupac Shakur.
And no worries, no worries at all.
They shamefully plagiarized that song.
Hey, hey, thank you, thank you. Ben, thank you. We still got Tom, Barbara?
Can you hear me?
Huh? Yeah, I can hear. I can hear.
I'm still going on, you motherfuckers.
That's all good, I tell you what, life couldn't be better for me, yeah. Yeah. Once I hear that, yeah, thank you for Brent Thornsby, yeah, mate. Can you play Nutmeg, in England We're Going Mental? Have you got that track? Can you?
No, I can't.
Oh. Can you play the studio version of it?
No, who the fuck wants to hear that shit? Quite honestly,
I mean, don't bring me and my fucking sordid fucking shit fucking low high efforts at fucking to change. I'm fucking naive, fucking bullshit.
Alright, how about, hey Tom, calm down,
oh my god!
A good song, or the good version of that song, to be honest.
I thought it was awesome. I think we should do a take two. Come on.
Right, here we go. Right, a version of that song. I mean, there's no...
Send in the link.
Shit. Okay? I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask for anyone to put that shit on the air.
So you didn't. It's right.
Hey, motherfuckers. Didn't leave this shit.
No, you would not put
it in the past. Leave that shit in the past.
What happened? We'll be quiet.
My mom is too early for me to fuck up.
Good. It's supposed to be shit. That was the whole idea of the original song. It's supposed to be anti-charm. It was supposed to just challenge anything. And in that way, it was exciting. Oh, I mean, it was just to sort of say, fuck off all fashion and all that shit. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm being a twat. See where it lands. That's what that song was.
Ah, well. Don't think that.
It won.
You're fine.
It fucking won. Impossible to tell in a second language. Is it possible to tell if you're fucking... you're limited intellectually by a huge fucking alcohol abuse bar roll. I love both of you.
Hey, dude. We have a new fella, what's his name? I think his name's Luke Biffin. He's on The Voice. The Voice, Frank met him in a pub. You know, when we used to have pub life back in the day. Yeah. I'd like to hear it again. Come on. Let's hear it. Nutsmeg. And you can tell us afterwards.
Nutsmeg.
Yeah, Nutsmeg. Come on, give us some Nutsmeg.
Yes. Give
me the name of the...
From 1984. Is it? Rose, you're talking... Yeah. This is the thing. You used to call it Nutsmeg, didn't you?
Nutmeg.
Smeg is an unpleasant thing, isn't it? You get under your foreskin.
That's it.
Isn't it? Out of fucking smeg. Get under your fucking foreskin.
Smegma. Smegma.
Yes.
Smegma. Smegma.
That's one of the late my band do, isn't it? Smeg. That fucking cheesy fucking chalky stuff. The chump and the apprentice, it's really you don't clean yourself. It's disgusting smell, the cheesy smell in it.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Fucking cunt. Fucking utter cunt.
Mickey. Fucking Smelly. It's fucking killing you.
Oh, shit, Tom. You are real, man.
You, man. Yeah, you fucking bunch of women. Yeah.
Oh, another woman. I'm packing heat, mate. I'm packing heat.
What are you packing heat about, you fucking gay lord?
It's funny because I took it once.
You fucking relentless laughter. Oh, I'm getting hurt. Control yourself, women.
Yeah, come on, come on. Let's hear some more nutmeg. Come on.
I'm not going to dance like a fucking monkey. What do you think? Why are you talking
about? Come
on,
monkey boy. Dance. Dance. Charles, dance.
Oh, dear. So what do you want to talk about?
This is probably the best episode of Psychology ever.
We've been talking for hours. We've been talking for hours. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just kidding.
I don't know which way is which way is north.
Have you seen this? He's only just got up. I've been up all day. I've been to work from fucking early on this morning.
Alright, here we go. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Ben. Ben. Yeah. Question. Who is the most famous person you have ever fucked? Yeah, we're talking normal.
I never fucked anyone famous, to be honest.
You never fucked Ali Minogue? You never fucked her?
No, definitely not. So I would say a prostitute, because prostitutes are famous in that sector. So if I was to reach for the most
famous. I did once. Yeah, way back. Oh, fuck. Yeah, no, it was awesome. I mean, no, nothing wrong with fucking prostitutes. You ever fuck Nessun?
Out of respect for that specific person, I will not elaborate on that question.
I had
a Kiwi hooker girlfriend for about a year once. Okay? Ex-hooker.
Yeah.
She'd been father of a university lecturer. He'd abused his sister. Okay, listen. There were three sisters. They discovered that the father, who was a religious studies lecturer, decent level sort of academia kind of guy, abusing their younger sister. And by the time I got together with her, she was a hooker. She had been a hooker. An artist, been a hooker. Kind of like, lady was not with the norm. And, that was Christine. Ah!
Hi, we have been gone by psychologists. Oh, welcome. Let's try to make some sense out of that discussion then.
Yeah.
Seems I am not the only one to...
Faco.com, right? Faco.com?
Faco.com.
Let's get this right. We've been gone for hours now. I've got guys next door to me, fixing my wrist. But yeah, keep
you
going.
You guys have been here for hours?
Hours, yeah.
Like,
oh, goodness.
Ping me. Everyone, this is the one time when you ping.
I said, come on, Ren Rolls, come in, let's go in live audio chat. I pulled it in tonight. I said to him, I've done something I haven't done in 11 years. Have a fucking beer. Have a fucking beer. I'm serious.
What happened?
Yeah, exactly. Fucking serious beer grown up, and you've got to keep a grip. But it's fucking lovely and sort of sociable. I've come in, and had a right old fucking twat about with Rolls, you know.
It's been great fun.
How many?
You don't need to post any of this. Hey, Tim. I'll call you Tim now.
Yeah,
you don't need to post any of you don't roll.
Fuck it, post it. I've heard the shit you've come out with in the past. Fucking hell, Tim. Remember the old days when he had his Sundays when he'd have the music on and everything? God, it went on for hours.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
Yeah, but Tim.
But how many of you, how many in are you, Tommy? How many beers in are you, Tommy?
About five.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. About five, mate. I have an appetite, and I know that, really, from the past, which is why I stopped. But I don't stop, get drunk, no, I can stop. I'm saying that's what I'm wary of. And it's something, actually, to be treated with complete respect. And joking aside, actually, I have to really keep a lid on it. I'm very capable of not drinking again for a very long time after now, really.
Tim, we've played Bruce Hornsby. Some things will never change.
Right, maybe I'd better cut this out.
No, don't worry, though. It's all good.
any psychologist stuff discussed or no? Fucking talk.
I think I was fucking magnificent, you know. I think some of the stuff I said, Tim, was
magnificent. You're magnificent.
I think I was well. I don't know about the others. I think purely for my honesty and the fact that it's Tom Dalper letting his hair down after such a while.
Yeah, Tom Dalper was the one that you got me into the live stream. I didn't. It's normally Tim that wants me to go into the live stream.
Exactly. Yes.
This conversation's going so well, isn't it? Let's go into the live stream.
They want me. Now, if you want to just segue into field psychology stuff, we can now effortlessly. No, I think I'm well set up for it. I think I'm ready to go.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah, Tim. Sharp, bro. Tim. How old are you?
So good,
mate.
How old are you in?
What did you say?
Ab, nothing we're ashamed of.
Benoit, did they say anything sensible today?
To be honest, not really. Nothing until this
thank
point.
You.
But I didn't want to give it up on that.
Nothing we're ashamed of.
Okay. Well, this fucking audio, put it separately to me, please. Tim, I'll be disappointed if you don't. I don't expect it to be live on the site. I want it to be because I thought it was marvellous. Love you guys. Look,
Don't go.
Okay. Don't go. Fucking audio of mine. I apologise.
Ready?
About something relevant now, I'm ready to roll. Who's it?
Yes, so it's pretty funny. One ox chased the other. That's how the world is going for all these years. And the thing that just surprised me in that aspect is that this corona ox disappeared very quickly. In a matter of days, it was totally forgotten by anyone.
It hasn't disappeared here in Ontario. Going strong. Maybe where you are, but not here. I don't think it's disappeared in England either, has it?
Yeah, well, okay, interesting point, because it has. First, there was a period early on, the lockdown, where people were wearing masks. There was this weird feeling going on. It was eerie. But that has gone for a long time now. it was easing up and people were going back to the beaches, and it's just slowly, 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 after relatively early on into this lockdown, it's eased. And it hasn't been that weird feeling for quite a while now. You still have that there in Canada? Still a bit eerie, a bit like strange?
Well, Ontario, where I live, they're still pumping out the numbers. Still pumping out the numbers of BF cases, so we're under emergency order for another month. That's an easy
one. And I saw that there was some protests, as they call it, downtown in Toronto also yesterday.
Yeah, well, I heard they're boarding up a very...
Yes, because...
a storefront right downtown for tonight. They say they monitor media.
Yes, but that's specific in the case of Toronto, because you have your own kind of personal police story, because you get that 29-year-old lady that fell from the window of her mother's apartment, and the family think that the cops threw her out the window, basically. So apparently the protests in Toronto are over that specific case rather than the American case at large.
Yes, it's a very pony-like story. It's full of holes. Its main selling feature is mental health, and that's not really an issue for police, and I really don't see how they can blow this one up into anything like the George Floyd case. Totally different, but I really don't see, there's no parallel at all, but I guess it doesn't really matter for a good protest to use any excuse.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
So my name is Robbie Parker, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Well, big shout out to Robbie Parker there.
Where are all the birds coming from?
Oh, they're from me. Do you want me to get it on mute?
That's amazing. Are you in an aviary?
Yeah.
Right. Tim, I was going to ask you about your because I've got a daughter who's just turned 16. I know you've got a similar age, aren't we? And we both have daughters who've turned about 16, probably. But my daughter tonight was talking about the George Floyd thing. She's bought the mainstream story 100%, you know, hook, line, and sinker.
Right.
And I see the power of it, you know. I can't really argue with her at this point, you know. As I start talking, she's like, oh my God, you know. But it's too important for me to make light of it, you know. Whereas my position, thinking the thing is fake, is like, yeah, okay, but, you know, I'm not going to get too emotionally affected by that. But to her, no, she needs, it's important to get emotionally affected by that. And I respect
that. It's one of the problems when you're a female, the emotion are more important than the objectivity. So that's a female trait more than anything. But yeah, I understand that young females, that my daughter that openly left insane, completely insane, that they would attach such emotion to such a distant, irrelevant story to them here in Canada.
Yes, I'm sorry, go on.
Oh, you go on, Benoit.
There was even a protest in Zurich, Switzerland that got together 2,000 people. I mean, I live in the best country in the world. The standard of living is the best.
Is that an organic protest, though?
No, everything is... I think that it's just driving us toward different politics, and that's it. They're just going with the flow. I think that there will always be people that want to be a part of something, so... Just put the word out that there is a protest.
Somebody has to start protest. Somebody has to start the assembly of people. They don't really happen organically. Somebody lights the fire, even for organizing a protest. So I'm curious, it wouldn't take much to organize it with the ease of media, but someone still has to do it first. No,
yeah, I mean, it's inevitable that it's going to happen. So, I mean, you're predicting the action. So you know how it's going to happen. You know what's going to, what, and so you can control it. It's just key agents in there.
I think the most stunning thing, you can mute, Roel. The most stunning thing.
Yeah. Hey guys, before I go, Tim. Yeah, I hear everything you're saying. Don't delete any of the earlier stuff. The earlier stuff, we were talking about Pink Floyd and we're having a good sing song and, you know, how I wish you were here. We were doing, yeah. All right, mate. I'll just go to mute. Hey, Tom, nice to talk to you.
Rose, you know I love you. Yeah?
Yeah.
But because sometimes you talk some shit. And I'll tell you straight, and you fucking do as I pass it. I don't want any bullying around here, and I don't think there is.
I'll listen in. I'll just go to mute, all right? Hey, Tom. I'll listen in and go to mute. Hey, let's do big love to Pink Floyd. And now, which ones do we want to get a big love to? Before I go. No. We want to go to Roger Waters. We want to go to who was the guy that created the band? The big fat blob. Yeah, Sid Barrett. Yeah, we want to give our love to Sid Barrett. Yeah. And how the boys looked after him.
Yeah. Well, you know he's my man from
He left years ago.
Oh, baby.
All right. Okay, guys, I'll just listen in. Love you, Tom. Don't leave us anytime soon. All right. Love you, man.
Try. Fire. Australia there. I don't know where exactly. With the birds. It's paradise.
Are you sure it's five? What do you drink? You're almost falling on the floor. Are you sure it's five?
Me?
Yes, this one you are not used to drinking five is more than enough to... Yes, that's what it is in the end.
That's okay. Very good. Yeah,
as I said, I wanted to express it because I have to keep an eye on it. But yeah, it's weird. Not done it for so long. Get drunk on such a little amount of alcohol. And I have to keep a really, really, really serious eye on myself. I probably won't go back to it. Yeah, I know guys, look, I've known you, Tim, for a while now, and so, it's good for me to sort of say it.
Nice to say hi. Good to see you. See you, mate. Good to see you.
Not
too badly affected by the coronavirus, folks. Not affecting too badly. I hope it hasn't driven you to drink.
The weird thing is, as I'm kind of admitting,
It has been.
Man. Oh, shit. Stop. It's powerful. Now, look, tell you what, I'm segueing, and I do skit about sometimes, but thanks for coming today. At the Flat Earth, our PSYOP, the 2015, they fucking put a Flat Earth PSYOP in. Bluff. What do you mean? That's what I think. I think, actually...
When did you start at the Fakeologist, Thomas?
Well, Fakeologist wasn't until then.
2012.
Yeah. Well, I was here before you turned to Fakeologist. So I said to you straight away, I don't like the name. Do you remember? I said, oh, no. No, you wouldn't necessarily. So, I've always totally accepted it.
Do you like the name now?
I never disliked it really per se.
It's just I had to...
FakeOTube.com.
It's consistent with Donald Trump.
Have you been to FakeOTube.com? My new site.
I've signed up. Yeah, but the thing is, you've got loads of videos on there. A lot of Simon stuff. There's a lot of September clues. I did go on there, Tim, and I did sign up.
Thank you.
When did it happen? When are you going live on there?
It is live, if you're honest.
Yeah. Do you remember when you went live the other day? I think I was on one of these other platforms, and I listened to it. No, it's great. Denny and Johnny Clue's room one. It brought them back in, you know. And then this has been one thing you've always been up with, all the technology. It's just great, you know. It's great. And
well,
I think,
if anyone's listening, it's costing me $100 a month to run that. It's kind of expensive. If anyone wants to donate, it would go a long way. Because that video hosting is very expensive.
Campus lockdown, of course. Broadcast from home. So whether you're doing it with Zoom, whether you're doing it with YouTube, whether you're doing it with Twitch, you're doing it with, I don't know what else there is. These have been platforms which are quite, you know, well, they're the only ones.
Yeah. Those are the only official ones. You can live stream on FakeOTube if I authorize it. So there's lots of platforms. You can make your own.
Spend
a little money.
No, there is freedom. If I wanted to do a live gig, I couldn't easily do it, could I?
Yes, you could. You can install my app, generic app, A-Video.
Yeah.
Look it up to FakeOTube. Alive.
Okay. No. Okay. Yeah. The infrastructure's there.
Yeah.
You see, the thing is, Tim, the good thing about you being au fait with technology is that all of these psyops, these big changes in society, these manipulated human beings, is always going to the next technology. So, the way we need to embrace that, in a sense. You know, because it's just where we're going. And,
you need to stay away from the big boys, because they control your content for providing the service. That's the deal. They give you the service, they get to stay and do what they want.
That's what we do.
Very simple.
I get sick of these guys complaining about free service. It's literally like complaining about a sample that you get at the store, saying, oh, this is terrible food. Well, you didn't pay for it, so why don't you shut up? it seems ridiculous, the amount of time people put into complaining about a free service. It blows my mind.
Yes, but in a sense, that free service is making money, even if it's free. Those people are making a living out of it, so in a sense, we are the customer anyway, you know?
Well, it's not illegal to make money.
Definitely not. Really.
And if you don't pay for something, I still don't see how you can...
That's correct. That's definitely correct. But that's how it is. That's what it is. People will complain anyway. It seems that getting some free money for the month in the USA was not enough to keep people happy. So it is what it is. People will find a way to complain, be unhappy about something.
Well, the free money was... I look at that as an exchange for being... I look at that as jail money. That's the price they give for to jail you. Even people in jail get paid, not very much, but they cause the unemployment. That was really delivered. In a way, they have to pay you. The money is not enough to make a difference staying you from going hungry, as far as I can see.
Yes, definitely. But that's what it is. Some things are changing, and like I said, one ox is slowly chasing the other one. And who knows what will happen for the summer. I am almost certain that we will have some kind of new disease or another version of the corona for next winter. But before that, I don't really know what the summer will be. Because apparently social distancing is dead in many, many countries.
Well, as I posted on FakeOTube and FakeOlogist.com, Bill Gates says there will be a pandemic phase two. It'll be a bioweapon exercise. And he said we're already pretty well prepared for it, meaning you and I and everyone else. Business is still closed and is used to lockdown.
Yes. Some people probably regret that things are slowly going back as they were, at least in some sense.
Well, I don't think anyone likes what's going on. Even the people that believe it are starting to wonder what's going on, because they just keep, again, moving the goalposts farther and farther out. Maybe not in Europe, but this psyop is destroy America. I don't really think there's an issue with Europe. Europe is probably the way they like it in many ways, but not for Europe or Asia, really.
Give me a take.
Well, even Britain. Britain's getting a good smacking, too.
We did. We got, believe me, it was fucking weird for a little while. We got stopped. It got stopped, it's been relenting. So no one's wearing masks around here. No one. I have to in my job. No one else is. The social distancing is carrying on, but it's slowly coming out of it, you know.
I really like Vernon Coleman. Did you see his stuff that I posted?
I apologize for not having seen that directly. I've been interested by bits and bobs that you've posted there, mate. I didn't think that exactly, but what did he say?
Vernon Coleman is that older gentleman that you posted a short video of on FakeOTube, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I did watch that one.
Good.
But Tim, my question for you in Toronto is, how's it feeling there? What's the vibe? Is it weird still? Is it a bit uncanny? There's not a lot of traffic on the roads? It's different here now. It's gone much more back to normal.
Well, I don't like the weird mean anything to me. But traffic has increased to about 30 or 40% of normal, maybe 40. And the airport, for all intents and purposes, huge center of commerce, still pretty much closed. I work around the airport, and it's quite strange not to see planes landing all over the place. Although we did have that big Russian cargo plane come through. My God, that's the biggest flying object I've ever seen. I don't know how it gets off the ground. It's so big. It's like a flying building. Have you ever seen that? It's, I think, an Anthropov cargo plane. I think it can carry a plane in it.
I love it.
It can carry a plane.
There is something like that that was built by Airbus. Rather the Super Guppy. And it was designed to transport the large plane parts like roll wings and things like that. But there is a new European version of that.
I think it's bigger than an Airbus.
Hey, I've got to say, baby's here. I only know babies from Xbox's call. I hope not. Not like me. Stop it, Tim. Am I bad? Go on.
You're pretty sloth.
Oh, man. I told you I was. Hey, baby. You alright?
Hey, go on, man. I'm just getting rained out at work, so I probably won't be able to talk. My boss just pulled up, but good to hear you. It's all talking.
Hey, it's cool. You're alright, man. You're nice. Thanks for that. Yeah. Behave yourself. I might be fucking lubricated, right? I'm tuned in, dude. You know I'm a fucking dude. And I know what I'm talking about, even when I'm fucking lubricated. But, sorry.
Yeah, when you're not drunk, you're very delivered.
Okay, I'm better. Drunk, huh?
You may be a little rolo because I guess you're...
Yeah, I'm ashamed of being drunk because I don't fucking come drunk very often, do I? Do you know what I mean? I'm coming into that... No, not at all. I'm coming into that saying, right, well, let's go with it and see what it sounds like. You know, I apologise, Tim, and it's quite late, but I'm not on shift till early tomorrow, so...
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Did anyone see the fake X rocket take off?
Yes, I had fucking, let me communicate this fucking little piece of interesting Facebook, my friends, normal people, very normal people were saying that is fake. We looked at it and it is
That's
fake.
Encouraging.
It is. We're not all fucking skewed. My mate, the drummer guy, he put it out there, he said, look, I looked at that, I think it's fake. Yeah, these are the people that are actually fucking interested in looking at it. Surprise, surprise, they're the ones that say it's fake.
Well done, that's really encouraging.
I liked it on my Facebook way of liking
and
it.
And did the feed cut out, try to land, apparently?
Yeah, they cut out at every fucking important moment. You couldn't see the fucking landing, you couldn't see the fucking... No?
Is that what made them suspicious?
Yeah! He said, hold on, it cut out there, it cut out there. The key moment, oh shit. I think this is fake. So I got that direct feedback, yeah. But on a very sort of normal platform. A guy who's a very earthy man, he digs oats for a living. And there was a few people that agreed with him.
Well, I think a lot of people thought
I think that also it was different before because of there was way more prestige in space than there is at this point, so maybe the budget to fake all this, those things are a bit lower than they were before.
Oh, man. It's such bullshit, isn't it? All space travel, it appears to be complete bullshit.
Yes, and there is a show on Netflix where they want to go to the moon, but to be honest, I watched the first episode. That was enough for me. It was too stupid, but they're afraid to get the program into the people's minds, even those days.
Well, the way SNJ always puts it is, they want you to believe that there's, rocks that you can land on. That was the whole con of the original moon mission, space travel, is for you to believe that you can travel through space to a... that entity in space and land on it. I think that's an interesting point. But yeah, is this the whole con of the space travel? I mean, is that one of the essential cons of it? There isn't any fucking thinking, is there? No, I mean, don't you think there's something to land on? It defines your parameters, doesn't it? We're in Plato's cave. Staring at these fucking shadows on the wall. You're completely fucking clueless. So, I mean, these are big questions that come to my mind. I'm going to bed. I'm out of here.
Last one.
Me. Okay.
Did you say you're going to bed now?
Oh, I say bed. I'm going to leave Discord. Probably take about another hour. To take some kind of nourishment before I put my head down. Wait for another day.
Drink lots of water.
Yes, well, that's exactly what I was about to say. Drink a lot of water.
Drink a lot of water before you lay yourself down. Nice chatting with
you. I apologize for being blurry and slurry and don't underestimate me. I'm well on top of this situation and enjoying it.
All right.
And I'll talk to you later. Later, guys. Thanks very much. Hey.
All right.
You too. Yeah.
Don't let them beat you down.
There you go. I love you all. I'll see you later.
Yeah, bye now.
Bye now.
As I figure it, if you have enough time on air, it will happen that you are drunk at least once, probably. That's what it is.
Well, it doesn't make for good radio, so.
No.
If they were going for 2 hours, I'm not putting...
Yes. I think that it probably got old in the first half an hour.
I... Yeah.
But that's what it is. The That's what it is. That's free radio, let's say.
It does happen. It's a risk, yes. I take. It's the risk I take.
Yes. That's the price to pay for the great southern intervention. Once in a while, you eat the bull and that's what it is.
Yeah, but I don't encourage it because it's not good radio. That's the problem.
Definitely not.
And I think I know good radio by now, good audio now. I'll tell you that Tim Osmond's stuff where he's commenting on the live stream going on and all the protests, that's good radio. And
yes.
He has hardly any views. I guess that's another sad commentary. He does not get the number even on YouTube. And his channel has stayed for quite a while. Normally it gets taken down. That's a strange thing as well. He's been taken down 60 or 70 times. Last channel has remained, which I find interesting.
Yes, I did listen to, I think, probably 1 hour, 1 hour and a half today of the specific ITS broadcast you mentioned. And I like his analysis on all that. He was listening to this live stream, so of course there was some noise behind him, particularly the stupid noise when people were sitting, the person that was live streaming. But it was interesting nonetheless. He was saying some good things, making some good points, and he's in the US in the end, so. Yes. And also the fact that he's taking calls from different people all over the USA. It's a great thing.
He gets a lot of good callers. A lot of smart callers. I'm really impressed.
Yes. So I did not listen to the entire service, but it was 3 hours, I think.
Well, there is only so much attention I can do. 2 hours. It's only really good if you're driving. So it's the only thing you can do when you're driving. You can't really watch it. So if you're going on a long drive or walk, it's fantastic. Highly recommended. Do you wonder who's dropping off the bricks at these protests? Kids with bricks? Can you imagine actually paying for that to happen? That is crazy. I don't know how much more obvious it has to get.
Yeah, it's a form of corruption, Ab.
Pardon?
It's a new form of corruption, Ab.
Oh, hi, Johnny.
How's it going?
Oh, it's really sad.
Sorry to cut you off. I just want to make sure that you can hear me fine.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sure whose voice it was because I
heard the
screen. That's all. Yeah, here you're sounding good, Johnny. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks, John.
Yeah, you're up in Northern Ontario. Is that correct?
I'm about...
Say again?
About 5 to 6 hours of...
Oh, north of Toronto? You don't want to disclose your actual...
Ontario,
like the back of my hand. Well, that's fine. You're north
that's
of
something
Toronto.
That I would maybe.
That's the only thing I would say. You're north of Toronto, but you're not Toronto.
Oh, there's no riots.
Say that again?
No riots at all.
Yeah. No real riots in Toronto that I can tell. Hold on one sec, guys.
It's been keeping the mess crazy. The Urge, the movie, Life.
John, is there anything happening in Ontario?
My area has been flooded like the traffic. Things have gradually gotten a drop in traffic. Last time I shopped, like, I had to wait for it was before all the riots started. I don't really know. I still see people driving with a mask on, and it's like I'm whatever, man. You know, there's different classes of humans. I really agree with JLB explained it very well.
What did JLB say?
Just about how he explained about how the luck picking someone up. It's not going to happen.
No, you're not.
Certain types of humans find in this.
Actually, ITS said it very well.
He's at 3, right?
Yeah, I think he's right. I put that clip on FakoTube.
Right. I've seen it. Yeah, like, thankfully, I listened to it again, but I actually listened to it as well.
Are you a fan of ICS?
Yeah, for sure. I listen to every broadcast. 3 hours I listened to.
How did you sit today? How did you find them?
I like them, man.
From you. Oh, yeah. Good.
A long time ago, and you mentioned them a long time. I mode and that time it was maybe just time I did when we were talking about
yeah.
myself, it's never been a huge computer thing that important in my life and what shape on. So it lost interest. And went by and he kept on his dreams and that. So now I checked one. It's like I agree with pretty much like 90s of what he says, so when I listen to him. I totally agree with this.
Well, he's reporting the news point of view, which is what I like, because I'm not going to sit and watch all these videos, he finds, but I don't mind listening to him talk about it. I don't go look for all these Twitter videos and whatnot, so the fact that he finds them, I enjoy that.
I agree 100% with what you just said.
Yeah, and he's very smart. There's no doubt he's smart, very sharp. And I'm a patron of his. I think I spend at least $5.
I'm under the $5 plan. I'm telling you, like, being in the Discord itself, it's $5. You know, if you want to make decisions of 31 days, do it. It's peanuts. And now the info just in his Discord, all the people,
yeah.
members.
I don't even go to Discord that much. Yeah, it's good, huh?
I do. People are very friendly, smart people too, very funny.
And they're all there for media fakery.
I feel like most of them are just as pissed as I am about what's going on.
Yeah, be lurking. I be in the turban. Little ones, they cursing. Older ones, I'm twerking. Talking about lack of education. Streets are always dangerous. These two speakers claiming. Do you really hear what they saying? Do you know what that means? Are you down for the team? 60 from something symbols. You can learn them stop these teams. Live by 9/11. Club of 27. Once you think that they in heaven, nah, bruh. It's a legend. It's all according to the code. Illuminati with my mind, body, and my soul. Why they touching bodies, everybody in that highly glow. Touching is a hobby, pushing gold. It's a auto glow. We call that an auto hoax.
What's she trying to prove? Don't you know we've been around the globe and into the moon?
She is just an auto hoax.
We will make the way, let it break, like reality, like control. Let them know we don't choke. Still it's like a party, but it's really like a breakaway.
He has long intros.
That one,
I don't mind those songs.
Some of them are actually made by members in Discord.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I don't mind them. They're pretty good songs overall. I do not mind them at all. But sometimes it's long.
I definitely support Alfab and.
Yes, you support me. Thank you.
And I am here. I think on just like through the 2020. It's two people who are pretty fucking smart in my opinion. Learned a lot from John. I got no issue with JLB.
Yeah, I like John. He's very good.
Especially in a time like this, time to have any kind of petty little difference. People, why not just like let it aside? In the States, it's people fucking eating for no reason. It's time to look at your priorities. Just like I'm glad I'm so like what's going on fast right now isn't being better.
Johnny, you're cutting out a bit. So you know you're a little.
Okay, thank you for letting me know.
I don't know what it must be. Your internet. Are you on a Wi-Fi?
I don't, should be a cutting out as well, so I don't know, just.
Well, I'm moving around the airport in Toronto right now, so I could go from one good cell to another, but I'm not in one cell for very long.
I'm not sure. Apologies.
Sorry. I don't know if I'm cutting out. You have to tell me if I'm cutting out. I can't hear myself cut out.
It's been pretty good.
Yeah.
I guess Tom was in earlier and.
Drunk.
He was drinking, but so I guess he did a two fish or something. He was for like 2 hours or?
Say again?
He just wondered how long Tom stayed in and chatted. Deal.
I don't know. I think Benoano.
I don't even know. I saw that Holo and Imo are there. I just joined in. At first I wanted to listen, but they addressed me immediately. So I picked up the headset and started speaking Indian.
It's good to see, you know, like, all your faces, you know, that especially just with all of the chaos, you know, like, this is unprecedented.
I'm still amazed that we don't have more new people. It's if Corona doesn't wake anyone up. I wonder if there's anyone left to wake up.
Or even just like...
Like, where is everybody? It got a little busy in March, but it died right off.
Yes.
I don't... Where is everyone? Is nobody... And I'm sort of disappointed a lot of these voices come back. This doesn't bring them back. Nothing will.
I know, like, one of the reasons I back the time here was just because, like, thing guys that... Even though I am very introverted, if I need human contact in some way, I can't find that human contact now with just the normies because same thing with the whole COVID bullshit and with this ride stuff.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
And one of those benefactors is Lloyd Miller. Thank you, Lloyd. Thank you, Johnny, for all your support.
You're welcome, Ab, to help. I would put down any kind of with anyone. Awake to what's going on, you know, so it's nice to be at least around people that talk about stuff.
Well,
that's point, there's not even support for anything.
Maybe people can't find the website. That's the only other thing. They just don't find it.
People are lazy.
So I think Google, everyone goes on Google. I guarantee almost nobody knows others. I think the Microsoft search engine called Bing, I think that's completely dead. I think it's totally dead.
Oh, it totally is. Yeah, DuckDuckGo has more takeaways.
But I think DuckDuckGo uses Google's engine, so there's...
Exactly.
All,
yeah.
So it's not, you're not going to find the website.
Yeah, they kind of, what do you call it? I think the only thing DuckDuckGo does is try and promote, we don't track you. It still uses Google.
Yeah, so what use is it? It's no use. I don't like that Google tracks me, but... I still use it.
Yeah, Google is actually a better search engine as well. But as far as like people not coming to the site, have you seen more activity in Clues Forum? Because I definitely haven't.
No.
As well, it's just like
it's not much busier. It's not as busy as it should be. If this is the biggest psyop of our generation, things should be flooded with people.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I like how you did the makeover straight away. Yeah, you did the makeover expecting.
Yes. Well, I didn't really... I was going to do a different entry page for every small psyop. For instance, I would probably have switched it over to George Floyd, but I still think Corona is bigger worldwide because George Floyd is really a USA psyop. It's not wide. Although, maybe they're trying to make it that way. So I still have left the Corona page up, even though the coronavirus hoax is stale to me. It's deadly boring, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's all the tropes are starting to... Like, I just saw an ambulance go past before, and it said, you must stay home if you can. You must work from home if you can, kind of thing. And it's just like, that isn't... People aren't paying attention to that. Our roads are at about 70%, 80% now. So,
okay. Yeah. You Australians, you get beat more than we do here, I'm sure of it. I don't know if you get beat more than the British. The British seem to just be getting it bad, too. I don't really follow British news much. I just see the YouTubers from Britain.
Sure.
And Vernon Coleman is the best producer of video audio from Britain that I've seen in a long time. That guy really has a great grasp of what the hell's going on. And he says himself he's not a conspiracy theorist, so...
Yeah. I'm so glad you posted that. Yeah, I think he might be, but I'm so glad you posted that because I've been listening to him.
Well, I mainly want to just post whatever videos were taken down. I don't want to copy you because obviously I have a trillion dollars. I only have $100 a month, so I can only put so much up. So if the video is on YouTube, I don't really want it on my site. Only if it has the possibility of going down. So if it's a, I'll post his stuff because they're ripping stuff down. So I don't mind putting his stuff on, but if it's a regular person, 400,000 subscribers, there's a reason why you sum up 400,000 subscribers up.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
But I don't really, unless it's a great video that I just want a copy of just in case. But overall, I'm not going to mirror every single video that I like. Although I have been testing to build up the site and something. I have a few great videos showing up.
Yeah.
YouTube.com. Have you gone there, BB?
I haven't, like, signed up for it, but I've been watching stuff on there. So.
Yeah, you don't have to sign up. You can sign in. I wish
sign in.
I haven't tested the notifications yet. I don't have a feeling they're not working. So if you could just log in and see if you can get notifications going, because I've never got one, so I'm worried that they're not working.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It looks good, though. I like the format and stuff.
But it's just a YouTube layout, the copy, it's nothing.
That's what you want, though. Yeah.
Yeah. People love familiar.
They enjoyed the Sophia Smallstorm thing you've put there, Ab.
What about Sophia?
It was good. Good interview she had with the doctor.
Yeah, I like her.
The only issue is that I listened through headphones, and all the audio was messed. Like, she was in one ear, and he was in the other.
Yeah, well, that's her fault.
Yeah, I know. Did you notice my new picture, Ab? Check with very brick.
No, which picture where?
Oh, it's
There's
in
so many places to look.
But on our screen. Anyway, my avatar now is a very sad-looking brick.
Oh, it's a brick. I thought that was the, is that the penguin brick?
Oh, no, that's just my own made-up brick.
Yeah. Okay.
This whole brick action happened. These pallets of bricks everywhere. Much enticing riots. What the fuck is going on?
That is
strategic awesome. Demolition and relocation.
It's just disgusting.
Hi, Dave J. Hi, Salty Dave.
Thanks.
Yeah, the bricks, that's pretty sad. That could be anybody paying for that, by the way. You don't really know who's dropping off the bricks. I know that you think everyone says George Soros is dropping them off, but
that could be anyone.
That could be anyone that just likes a good riot. Right.
But is it a reality that the areas that are being wiped out are the very rundown areas?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I know the Minneapolis one was a downtrodden area where all the Somalis hang out and live because they're the most recent immigrants, so they would be lowest on the socioeconomic totem pole.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that would be the rundown area of Minneapolis. That's not.
What about the rest of the areas? What about in New York City?
I don't even know the list of cities.
I've seen a photo app.
Almost all of them.
So I'm just wondering if the strategic relocation hypothesis is holding up. Strategic demolition and relocation.
Did anyone see that? Yeah, Johnny, you want to say something?
Want to say, like, it's sad if some people's minds. Because I see, like, the last photo I looked at is two people inside of a fucking subway did eating sandwiches. Like, do you have any self-respect? Like, do you even think about what you're doing?
You're
I don't know, Ab. That might be a good thing, Ab, that I'm cutting out. You know, it's frustrating.
I know. Well, that's why I'm sort of not able to hear too great.
So are you of the view that all the video footage you're seeing is genuine?
Well, not all of it, no. Seen, I don't know if I'm coming in clear, but I've seen a guy walked in umbrella to himself on a mission just by how he walks and starts banging through windows quickly, systematically, and walks away and people confront him saying, what the fuck are you doing, man?
Are you a policeman?
It turns out he was a cop.
Well, they're accusing him of being a policeman on the spot.
Like, there's a lot of shit like that. Okay, that's so crazy, right? What to say, man? Next, I made a statement that I used to watch horror movies, escape, reality, and then after the horror movie, I'd come back and be like, my life isn't kind of right now. You know what? At least Verge isn't going. I can't say that no more. At least in Canada, so I can't.
What's your view of what the purpose of it all is?
It must, like, I just obviously seems like FFB definitely wants this to happen. They want this to happen. Want to, at some point, I'm guessing, accept some reaction solution that's going to come in. Solution part, whatever that is. You know? Like, the aftermath of this is not going to be pretty. Or not think. It started out as a bomb protest for this alleged actor. Because this guy, he's more famous than fucking Luther King, for his sake. Point. How many people are, protest? This is beyond fucking. At some point, I think I'm going to get pinched. I'm going to be like, looking up on my mom, and she's actually still going to be alive. It's going to be all a fucking dream. That's that kind of how it feels. That's crazy. Thank God I smoke weed. It's the only thing that's keeping me fucking proper. Like, it may not sound mellow, but I really am. Like,
but in your vicinity, though, are you affected by it? If you turned off the telly, what would happen in your life? I mean, to me, I'm getting the impression that you're upset about something.
No, it's just I'm upset.
Yeah, you're upset.
Right. Well, wouldn't you be? Like,
but I'm not there, so I don't know.
I guess I've always been passionate. I have a huge heart. I have a lot of emotion. That's been presented. There's a go audios. I've lost my for many.
Yeah.
If I'm just a passionate person. More of the race.
So what if I were to put the idea to you that that's entirely what it's about is to get you upset, even though it's not really in your sphere, you can't do anything about it anyway, and really,
well, yeah, and I do see that. Don't get me wrong, like, yeah, it might sound like, oh, I'm being pissed, but it's just because it came onto the audio, and I want to kind of bring how I'm feeling at times, maybe other people, for the most part, it's really, really, am very calm. It's just, but, I don't want this kind of, hopefully it doesn't. But if watching Trump thinking he's doing great action, he's a fucking clown.
But we don't know what Trump really thinks. I mean, he's obviously filling a very cartoon-like role, isn't he?
Right.
It's very, it doesn't appear to be even the slightest attempt to look like a genuine.
No, it is absolutely see-through at this.
Yeah, I guess I'm here.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry, but
it needs to go angry or just because, like, I did totally agree with you. Very good, nothing to do. I'm just a person. I pretty much have to just go with the punches. That's why I do a lot of mindfulness to help me.
I didn't hear what you do a lot of.
Mindfulness.
Yeah.
Practice a lot of mindfulness. Been in the present and appreciating what you have right now.
Yeah.
Because I just want to make it, I know this is going to make sure that my passion doesn't present because I didn't see it. It's just so sad. Sad. One who doesn't think this is sad with someone I don't speak with, right?
Yeah, I guess
people's businesses are destroyed.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I don't see any reason to have faith that what's represented on television through screens has any basis in reality.
Yeah, even the news and television is becoming more comical, I think, anyway. Yeah. This whole thing has made it very, a Total Recall advertisement or something. It's very, not serious or something like that.
What about the people who aren't about 80-year-olds?
You'll have to repeat that. Sorry, man.
So he asked about what about the people that are 80 years old?
Who are not awake to, Hadrian. Like, I'm blessed. I'm definitely blessed that
I think there are some people that are awake of all age groups. I don't think the kind of cynicism that I have is limited by age. I just think there's a proportion of people that think that most, that have become
skeptical, I think is the best word, of all matters.
Hope so.
But I don't think it's many. I don't think it's an age-related thing.
No,
it's not enough.
Twice now that happened. Now I'm going to have to correct myself. I didn't mean, but just putting out an example. Of an old, elderly 80-year-old getting the weight to just said.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure because I don't want my words to be taken out of context.
Yeah, so I think I feel this tendency in myself to like view things as how open and how awake people are to certain things, but pertaining to what you're saying, Johnny Clues, like I think objectively television, the news and that kind of thing has become way more comical since this corona thing. Like, I feel like I'm in like a spoof episode of the X-Files when I watch the news. It's utterly, utterly
surreal.
Strange. Well, it's for real, yeah. So it's like when people see the news, they can kind of see it, but like they can't help repeating the same old tropes that they've repeated for the last 20, 30 years. It's just ingrained in them. Not enough people are awake to the fact that the news is so contrived, but, you know, there's still that, like, little bit of, I think, deep knowing in people that it is just a narrative. You know, say for instance, this is what I found interesting. The other day I was in a timber store. You know, you get some pretty straight-laced people running places like timber stores, but like he was talking about the news and I was like, well, this is social engineering. And he was like, yeah, it is. It's mind control. And it's like, yeah, you know, like someone out there knows what social engineering is. And I wouldn't have thought he was a conspiracy person. At all. But you never know, right? But it's just like, there's glimmers of hope everywhere, I guess you could say.
Interesting times, sir. Definitely.
Mm.
We're halfway done, right? So.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm at the moment, one thing I'm a bit over is the whole, the corporations following suit.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Nightly News from Central Queensland, Australia, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
It sounds like you, baby.
Yeah, it does actually a little bit. Yeah. I sound more like John Le Bon, though.
Absolutely.
Maybe a bit deep accent. Except John Le Bon says news. He says YouTube, and I've never said that. Say it's news and it's YouTube. John Le Bon has a very international accent. I think he's going to be moving into a more international English. But yeah, I'm a bit over the corporations following suit, like as if they had warehouses of Corona-affiliated kind of stuff already there, ready to be shipped out. I'm sure this is happening similarly across Earth, whatever. I went into Coles the other day, which is just a supermarket department store. Everyone's wearing high-vis that has like social distancing requirements on them, and all the face guarding stuff. I know I'm repeating old stuff, but it's like, why is, these corporations are who, are pretty much like our controllers now. Like, the government is, long time. Yeah,
yeah,
totally. Yeah.
I think one of the reasons they only let the big boys stay open is so they knew that the big boys would do whatever they're told when it comes to the social control mechanisms, like the 6 feet, screens, the masks, whatever. But the small stores would be far less likely to do any of this. So they probably just kind of stay close because we know you don't probably have enough money to put one-way aisles and sanitize everything three times an hour, that kind of thing, but just stay closed. I think that's part of it. They don't want anyone thinking that they can do whatever they want, even though they can't pass any laws. There are only regulations and suggestions, strong suggestions. I think that has something to do with it. That's why they let it go like that. I think that has something to do with it, maybe. That's just another angle.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, sorry, go ahead, Frank.
I do have a hypothesis as to what it's all about, which is just one that I've had for a long time. It's just part of it. I mean, so the evidence is that China is making more steel than ever. So steel production,
sure.
Steel production has not faltered in China. So if you put that in the context of the fact that there's been a massive slowdown in international trade, for example, the Australian balance of trade is now at a positive because they're selling more iron ore than ever, but not importing anything. And I'm sure that's true also of the USA. I'm sure imports into the USA have plummeted, which means that China is making more steel than ever before at a time when its markets should have fallen off a cliff. So what that indicates is that the purpose of everything that's going on is to accelerate the transfer of the closure of USA Incorporated and the reopening, or in the total transfer of physical
industrial
power,
wealth,
physical
yeah.
and military and industrial power to the base in China. And I should also point out that people think China is like a Chinese country, but there are many hundreds of examples demonstrating that the City of London has total control of operations in China, for example.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. That China is just the Anglo-American Empire on steroids.
Yes, absolutely. So that...
It's every why can't I say the word authoritarian? It's every authoritarian wet dream, China. Just everything they want is happening in China. They would love to bring it to the rest of the world. It's so efficient.
And it has all the hallmarks of having been planned over a long period of time. The Cultural Revolution in China wiped out, you know, very strong traditional values which that otherwise would be causing problems now.
Right.
Yeah, I heard if you go to a tea house in China now, they're all watching NBA.
Yes. So all of the American wildlife is
the
whole of college.
They own the NBA.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say that they're the majority shareholder. They probably own 51% of all the teams, the league, everything. Even the alien that is the head of the NBA, I don't know where he's from. He's the strangest looking person I've ever seen.
That's a bit of a tell, isn't it, Ab? I mean, at what point do you acknowledge that he may not be like you and me?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like as if, because I think one of the biggest detriments to, and let's forget about how nations don't really exist at the moment, but like, if they were to exist, then I've always thought that one of the biggest detriments to China is their honesty with each other. Like, people fear China, I think, on a general level here in Australia, but, like, what they don't realise is it's, like, China has a severe honesty problem in the past, and I think that's changing now, definitely. Like, people are becoming way more...
The British will teach them how to lie and cheat.
Oh, they will.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the Anglo, the merchant Anglo, the never-ending Anglo. I forgot what that meme is, but yeah, they're good at lying. Yeah, totally. Yeah, they export rhetoric, I guess you could say.
That's a good theory, Frank. I like it. I like what you said.
It's interesting.
That's good.
It's as I said, there is, regardless of what you think is going on, the things that I have said to you are just simple facts. It's simply a fact that iron ore production has, sorry, steel production has never been higher in world terms.
So where is all the, is all the steel staying in China and they're just building up their own infrastructure?
That part I don't know, but I would suggest yes. I'd say that they're establishing, essentially all military equipment, all industrial power, everything comes from steel. I mean, steel is weight for weight the strongest material we have. It's just the reality, isn't it? The fuel required, etc. Everything is pointing now to the time for a rapid transition, a kind of shock transition from US hegemony. But basically, the royal family said, no, we don't want the UK to be we don't want USA to be our army anymore. We want China to be it, and that's how it'll be. And as you say, people fear China, but they're fearing the wrong people. The people that they need to fear are the royal family.
All the people that are behind her.
Yeah, and it's just been, look here, and in Australia, it's exactly like what happened just around the Twin Towers thing. Just before the fall of the towers, Australia's largest trading partners were Arabic countries for wheat and all sorts of things. Cars.
Yep.
The stuff I used to sell, salt and so on. All of those things, they were fantastic trading partners. And then overnight, we suddenly hated them.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing the same thing occur with China. China has been powering the Australian economy for who knows how long now? Yeah, 20 years. And as Bibi was saying, the Chinese people are completely charming and lovely. All they think about is, oh, gee, look at all the nice things we're doing for your country. We're developing this, and they see themselves, rightly, I think, as being charming, friendly people that are just here to help.
But they're nation builders.
What's happening
they're
now?
They're
being vilified. And should we allow China to do this? Should we allow China? It's not China doing it. They've been encouraged by the people that run Australia, which again is just more English people, working for the Queen. They set up the laws to facilitate the transfer of industrial might from the Anglosphere to China. I mean, what a coincidence that all the countries in the world in 1972 recognised China and immediately started transferring industrial knowledge and factories over there.
And then they
say 30 years later or 40 years later or 50 years later, oh, how did it happen that China became so powerful? That doesn't make any sense. It's kind of...
The main reason, of course, if there really are a billion people in China, they were all in agrarian farm, but whatever the number is, it's got to be more than 200 million, I would think. And they were basically a farm agrarian economy, and they wanted them to switch over to an industrial economy, and everyone wanted to be there at the ground floor and capture all those future consumers. So it was a gold rush for the business community, for sure.
But when you say that, Ed, it wasn't a gold rush for the many American businesses that were family-owned. There was a huge number of family-owned, very powerful businesses still in the USA. It was only the kind of Nikes and those kind of businesses that came out of the blue that started doing this stuff. And the American political system, had it had the will, could easily have just said, oh, look, we think that's a threat to our national security. Let's just not allow that. That didn't happen.
That's because the American federal level of government is controlled by the City of London.
That's right.
It's not a local government. And it was made weak by design, of course. People don't know. I say it every time. They don't know the nature of the United States. They were never supposed to be a homogenous nation, the federal government, was just to defend the country with an army. It was never meant to become one homogenous nation, which is the case with most Commonwealth countries like Canada. And I still think that if you look at the map of America 2050, they want one North America. And they don't want it to be, they don't want it to be one big America. They want it to be one big Commonwealth-type country, and that means getting rid of the guns, and that'll have to take two or three generations. Yeah. And they just want that one world-type government, which Canada is fully subscribed to. We practically mention it all the time that we want to be the model for one world government. One world, the world country, a country of the world. There's no doubt about that.
Where you glorify diversity, where you make sure that the idea of people living as the Bible suggests they do, you know, a man takes a wife and leaves his parents, you definitely want to get rid of that kind of crazy idea.
Yeah, oh yeah. Because that glorifies, that emphasizes the family unit. They don't want that. They want that broken up and as independent as possible, because strong family units can coalesce under one roof, under a religion, and they don't want any of that. They want the religion to be the state religion.
Yeah, and instead of people living in kind of clusters of 100 people, say, like, you know, you would have thought a nice village would work, and it would be a sensible way to live as well, you know, if you had if people lived in groups of 100 in one or two large, sensible dwellings, everything could be done quite sensibly. What's going to happen instead is that people will be basically in their own little dog kennel, fearful of going out at night. Well, in fact, they won't be allowed to go out at night without, they'll have to maintain social distance, because this thing is never going to go away.
No.
And that's really how it's going to work. And of course, it's easy. The people of China, because they're already compliant, the fact that they're going to have more and more the potential to have more muscle as a result of the fact that they're doing all the work, they've basically been socially conditioned to just forget about unions, etc. For them, you know, it'll just be perfect world for the royal family.
Yeah, it's the biggest thing with the social distancing. I mean, like, I had a feeling that it's like, so you have something like social distancing, and it is a like an advertisement for the future. Kind of thing, but like at the present, it seems to be kind of helping families be closer and stuff like that. But from what I've found, anyway, it's like it has like the reverse effect, but in the future,
they're closer by Zoom, aren't they? They're talking to each other more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like,
and the Zoom experience is awful.
It's awful.
Let it be known.
Oh, totally. I'm never partaking in that. But I must admit, like, I think I've seen more families walking around in parks and gardens and that kind of thing. Like, there's definitely been an upsurge in terms of the family unit being out and about together with each other, but that's not to say it's a good thing. Like, I think these things are just implementations of the future. You know, the end of financial year sale kind of thing of what's to come in the future.
I like that analogy, the end of financial year sale.
Yeah, it's like when we see these things brought in, they're just kind of like 80% off, 60% off, and they come in like that, and they have the reverse effect. Like, people suddenly have $2,000 to spend, and they don't really have that money to spend.
Or in the longer play, you know, we all, oh, look, we've got all these cheap things coming over from China. That's great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I hear what you're saying as well about the keeping stuff to 100 people, kind of small villages and stuff, but that's not. I think there will be people that will do that in the future, but the vast majority will not. Yeah,
it won't be permitted. You, they'll say, oh no, you can't do that. That's going to break all the social distancing rules. You know, you're going to get wiped out by the next Spanish flu if you do that.
Now, yeah.
You have got to live in your own separate room. Otherwise, you're in fear of death or something, and you're a danger to society.
Yeah, where do you see the future of, it's a bit different, but of, like, media going? Is there something to be, like,
intensify. But what happened in the USA in the 20s and 30s was they had free-to-air radio broadcasts going on all over the place. That was brilliant. And then over the next 30, 40, 50 years, radio broadcasts became more and more regulated and controlled. And they used to have films about pirate radio stations. Remember all that stuff? How evil pirate radio stations were. And so that will happen with the internet, is that, you know, you'll basically have to have a license to do what Ab's doing now.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Have you ever questioned the nature of your reality?
And there'll be endless movies about going to Mars. Just like on that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. And it's all totally fake. They're already predicting, portraying the future for us. It's nothing to guess.
Sure. Yeah. How ridiculous has this SpaceX thing been as well? Like, thrown in the mix.
Well, you were talking about how it looks so phony, it couldn't be real. But I think the reason they make it look so stylized like they do is to get people used to that. That's what it looks like. That's how it is. It slowly reduces the chances of them being sprung. You know, what people are prepared to accept as real now...
is whatever's on the TV.
Is whatever's on the TV.
That's reality.
Yeah, like, well, when I said that, so it is, it's got a lot to do with, the way things are being filmed and stuff, but one of the things I noticed is, like, sidebars, and, like, when a news station has a bar at the bottom indicating that this is this event, it's all really, like, kind of crazy colours now, and stuff, like yellows, and that kind of thing, and, yeah, it's just... Yeah,
well, presumably these guys have got the psychology of all this worked out. You know, they've got the very best brains.
They pay them money to
basically work against us. They're working against themselves. We're more or less digging our own. This is not an actual thing. We're not actually digging our own graves, but metaphorically, we're digging our own graves. We're building our own kennels.
Yeah, we're setting the becoming fully domesticated. I mean, we were essentially domesticated many years ago, but now, like, the physical features are starting to really come through. Maybe there's going to be neoteny in
What is neoteny?
Neoteny is like when someone exhibits childlike features.
Yes.
Like really raised cheeks. They're kind of subtle things, but you kind of get that with, like, say the domesticated fox kind of neotenous features present. But
we know that's a fact from the way our jaws are shaped now because of our diet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
You know, people's faces and the size of their jaws is completely altered by, you know, how they go about their food.
Yeah, you tend to actually, like, not to stray off, but you tend to see neotenous features in, like, gay people, like gay men, because they have become the object of desire.
Yeah,
that's my assessment.
That other thing that's occurring where YouTube videos of men showing other men how to wear makeup. They're the guys that are making big money on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
Which has been talked about on this, some of the things you've put up, Ab. time.
Yeah.
But that's just a fact. You know, it's not even something we can argue about. That is the reality.
And that's all anti-human material, because it does not help progress and continue the human race.
Exactly. So the idea of well, in fact, I would say already, and for quite some time now, that sex has been dissociated from reproduction.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah.
Did you listen to the Dr. Day audio that I put up on Master Fake Theater, Frank?
But it's hard to know. I listen to these. I obviously hear these things out because you're hearing me say things that are similar. And I haven't invented these things. These are just ideas that have resonated with me.
Yeah, then you must have. Because Master Fake Theater featured Dr. Day. Marcus was talking about it a lot, so I revisited it and listened to the whole thing. The audio is really hard to hear, but he was also saying the same thing about sex that was supposed to be just made. It was separated from reproduction, basically.
Yeah.
And the other thing that he didn't say that someone else said that I posted a long time ago somewhere was that one of the greatest destroyers of humanity was the invention of the film. That's power away. That was absolutely one of the, obviously, it was a pivotal moment for feminism, but it was also the pivotal moment for humanity and families. There's just no doubt about that.
When I was a young man, I would, you know, the things that I saw with women saying, going into workforce and so on, and getting jobs, was that it became clear that the wages of working people was then being rapidly eroded. So for example, then what happened then is you had two wages, and so the price of houses then began to be inflated as people wanted to have, you know, better and better houses because they had more money as the couple. It just caused the amount of money that they borrowed to increase so they would compete, and that's what drove the house prices up. And then more and more, and then the number of people per household started to fall, and now people consider that their major investment of their lives is to own their house, or to own their dog kennel, in effect. And that's the situation right now. And then the people, you know, they're lucky if they can stay married for 5 years. I mean, if you want a guaranteed divorce, then set up a situation where a young married couple has only got itself. You know, it's only those two people, and they're expected to stay in a house, and they're expected to not have a wandering eye, even though the television is constantly portraying infidelity. You know, it's just a masterful plan. And so the houses are constantly recycled as they get divorced.
Well, yeah, and then we could go deep into it, but into social engineering, but... Yeah, women in the workforce, you know, women are just capable of men, but there's only so many hours in the day, and if you want to keep the human race going, somebody has to do the reproducing. There's just no way around it unless we want to go to the pod system from...
And clearly, that's what...
...crave the world.
That's what the plan was for a long time.
I really wonder if all the women... I always wonder when I see women, especially women doing very male jobs, I really wonder if they're really happy, because I do my job. I like for it for the most part because it's easy and I'm overqualified for it, which is fine with me, but I do it just to make money and keep the family going. But I really wonder if women, do they really like the drudgery of work that men do? Because for the most part, most jobs are just drudgery, so there's no real value other than income.
And the reality is in my opinion, and I think you're alluding to it, the single most important job in our existence is the care and raising of our children. Every aspect of our lives, in my opinion, every aspect of our lives should be judged against whether or not it will in benefit or harm to the relationship between mothers and their children.
Yeah. And, yeah. and yeah,
that criteria, that criterion just is not applied. And so as a consequence, we are in a mess. We, you know, what's the purpose of our, what we call society? What are we trying to achieve? It used to be very, it was an unspoken assumption that what we're doing here is to make life better for our children so that they will enjoy a better way of living and so on. But that has all vanished. No one, you know, children are a plague, humans are a plague, people are a plague. Man is a plague. It's a kind of collective madness. You know, young men, young Caucasian men walking around with T-shirts saying, end white hegemony. You know, as if that's been around for 100 years. The last time that white men had any real say in things, this would have been, I can't even imagine when.
Yeah, it's like, see, the whole feminist thing was a, you know, a war on women. You know, they saw like the I'm using they as well, but whatever. The engineers of this whole thing saw like the base, and they knew that needed to be kaput. So you had the introduction of the woman becoming a man, kind of thing, and that's interesting what you said, Tim, as well. Like the I occasionally we get apprentices come through who are like women for doing like landscaping and that kind of thing, and you know, landscaping isn't that's not a lady's job, and you know, and it's noticeable as well, like how far less, like say a half decent capable lady can do, but that. As you said that, it just rang true with me. It's like, are they actually enjoying themselves or finding fulfillment, I guess, is a good way of putting it, because, yeah, it's an income at the end of the day. Sometimes our work
is... Yeah, landscaping's not a career. You know, being a police officer, that's not really a career. I don't like to be sexist in this way, but I have to be because it's so obvious that it's a woman as a cop where she's trying to control men who are at least half the population. And I know there's other ways than force to control people, but just the idea, it almost seems comical. And I just feel bad. And I know it's not politically correct to say it, but
it's
not
crazy.
The murder society.
What I was trying to get to before was when I was, even as a young man, saying, you know, clearly the effect of what's going on here is going to mean that women are never going to be able to, in the long term, have the ability to stay home and have a children, because no couple will have sufficient income in one wage anymore.
Right.
And you know, it was as clear to me as night and day. And, you know, 30, 40 years
ago,
and yet people would harass me about saying that my views were every ist you could
imagine. Neanderthal.
Yeah.
I wonder how many women, when they get into their mid-30s and they start thinking of a family, realize that we have made no progress in furthering fertility in upper ages other than some extreme interventions that don't work very well.
How many just
regret saying, okay, I've got this established career and whatever, but it just cannot steal time to go back and become fertile and do what you're here on Earth for in the first place. Because men certainly cannot and should not even attempt to alter their bodies to do it. It's just that's more just pure insanity. But I just wonder how many just regret in the end of the day. Their career, my career is just an income. It doesn't add up to a hill of beans. No one will remember me for anything I affected in my industry because I'm just a cog in a wheel. And most people are. So
It's
women forsake their greatest gift, and that is to reproduce.
Yeah.
The greatest gift.
Yeah.
One that man will never... Barely, man can never duplicate the miracle of life. Cannot. All you can do is try burn and poison.
the miracle of life. We have no effect on, we cannot create any life at all.
The world is set up so women cannot really do it because, you know, they are abandoned by their husbands in many respects. You know, the situation has occurred now, but women are so vulnerable. For them to give up work and not keep, you know, work functional and then end up with children is just a disaster for them likewise. So you can understand that the behavior of women now is totally rational under our current way of going about things.
Yeah, the one thing I noticed that has changed is and people back in the past, say 30 years ago, de facto was something that happened, but like now it's just so accepted that, you know, one of my colleagues the other day was saying he's always talking about his wife, but it's his partner, you know, his partner, like what, a business partner, like your business partner, Frank? No, or my business partner, you know, it's like, no, it's the, you know, he has children with this person, you know, you may as well call it the mother of my children.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like these social kind of like ideas that we had are now like, I think the term atomized, I think, I'm not exactly sure what atomized means, but if there's anything to that, it's that, you know, it's the reducing of relationships to just business and contract proposals.
Yeah, which is really, you know, what makes sense. You know, the idea of marriage was originally a contract. Well, now it's a contract with the government. And if people are entering relationships now, they really need to stop pretending that they are living in a world of 200 years ago, and they need to in take up legal matrimonial contracts that are enforceable under civil law. Because the current system, if they sign a marriage contract, they're essentially entering into a contract with the government as the third party. And that makes no sense. And I've completely stopped the conversation.
Yeah, Frank, it was nice chatting with you. I've arrived at my domain domicile, so we'll talk.
Sorry, Frank, my boss just came and talked to me. The rain stopped out here and just...
And to me, my boss from upstairs came down. She's working from home, and my boss came down as well. I'll be back in a second.
Well, I'm out. Good talking to everyone. Have a good...
I'm here to do one, but that's all, folks.